I think about my dogs a lot.
Great story.
You know, little Lydus and Veruca, they just had a birthday party out at the beach last week when they turned 9. And, you know, the expression of dog's life. I was thinking, my dogs really have a good. Last night I was cutting up baked chicken for them for dinner, and I was thinking, they are living the absolute life.
Yeah.
And now I realize, after I saw this article in the New York Times yesterday, that they are slumming it living
right
in my house. They got nothing. Yeah, they may
your
have their
dog's
own
life suck.
They may have their own little doggy beds, but you know what they don't have is a dog spa. This article, by the way, has multiple dog spas, and you cannot believe how pampered these pooches are. Here's one in Washington, D.C. that cost $1,000 for 8 days. $1,000 for 8 days. It is a luxury, high-end resort spa for your dog.
Do they provide your dog with a friend and you get to go home with two dogs? Because that's expensive.
It is very expensive. And there are lots of items you can pick from the menu. For $40, a dog can have a water workout and a lap swim. There's also photos. There's sports massages. Mm-hmm. Your dogs can be fluffed and powdered by their size and weight with a blueberry facial, a mud bath treatment, a paw cure, Allie.
Yeah.
Including nail polish if you want it, by the way. And it just goes on and on and on. The stuff that is going on at these spas, and they're all over the place. Here's one in Texas, for instance, where you have a skylight in your dog's room because your dog gets energy from the sun, for instance.
Yeah.
If your dog doesn't like to sleep alone, you can pay an additional fee to have somebody snuggle with your dog overnight. You hire a human.
Right. There's something going on wrong there.
To sleep with your dog. I'm telling you, it just goes on and on. And my head's exploding when I see the kinds of money that people have to spend on their pets. So we thought we'd look around, and sure enough, it turns out Dave found a place in Southern California that's one of these high-end dog spas. And I believe we have the manager of the place on the line. Shea Bark is the name of the company. Shea Bark in L.A. Hello there, sir or madam. Are you there?
Hello. How are you?
Good. Well, we're doing well.
Shea Bark, how may I help you?
Who is this, please? Who do we have the pleasure to speak with?
I am Maurice.
What is it?
Maurice.
Okay. All right, Maurice.
Okay.
So we're just dipping our toes into this.
Dip your toes in our luxurious spa waters.
No, I'm just talking about into the topic. We don't know really anything about dog spas. Maybe you can give an overview for our listeners of what you do there at Shea Bark.
It's the most exclusive, luxurious spa for dogs there is to have.
Right. I just usually we have somebody that takes care of our dog when we're out of town.
They just let him out in the backyard and put down some water and some food.
Saying, it's a friend that we trust.
Bury it up to its neck in feces.
Oh, no. I'm saying
leave it to smelly poo-poo.
No. I'm just saying I don't know that I need a spa.
You do need a spa.
I do need a spa.
Your dirt needs a spa.
Okay.
What does?
My dirt?
You need to leave it with us.
Okay.
And then your dirt will be taken care of with, like, the most joyous time of its whole canine life.
Huh. I feel like some of the stuff humans understand, but is lost. The luxury is lost on a dog at a certain point.
Lost. Every creature on God's earth loves to be pampered.
Pampered.
And to have pleasure. Uh-huh. And so we provide that for your dog.
All right. Maurice, what kinds of things do you offer there at Shea Bark?
Well, we have it's a 75,000-foot resort.
Oh, wow. 75.
That's huge.
Located on the beach here in Laguna Niguel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
And it's 100 rooms. All everyone is a suite.
Okay. Does a dog need a suite?
Yes, it does. Okay. Need a suite. And we begin the day by expressing the anal gland.
Oh, no.
Well, I mean, that does need to be done for some dogs.
Oh, they love it.
Do they love it? Okay.
And to make it even more pleasurable for them, we make a cat do it. It's more humiliating for the cat, and the dog gets to laugh at the cat and say, you are my bitch.
So it's a mental health visit as well.
Yes, you get to abuse cats and look down upon them and use them as slaves. And then we pamper them with the facial. I give every dog a facial.
No, okay, come on now. Right,
careful Maurice. Here.
I mean.
I mean, what's the facial?
Kevin, don't ask further questions. Let Maurice leave it there.
I
move on.
Need details.
No.
Peanut butter. I take peanut butter.
No.
And I slather it all over the dog's face.
Okay. What does that do?
It makes their face smell like peanut butter.
Okay.
I don't know why you want that.
People want?
Dogs love it. And then they lick, 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 lick.
Okay.
And then lick, 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 lick. And then facial. That's how that happens.
I see.
Okay. Okay. It's kind of weird, but all right.
And then they are groomed with their clippers.
Clippers, right.
And we do the polycure with their nails are trimmed and polished.
All right.
And then we look at them. If we don't think they're attractive, we tie a cinder block to them.
No.
Why would you say that?
No!
Oh, come
Maurice.
On.
We
this is
have
awful.
No room for ugly dogs here.
That seems bad for business.
People do get a little upset, yes.
Parents with small children listening might want to be aware that this particular talk is intended for a more mature audience.
Okay, I think the one warning is going to be enough.
Yeah, this program contains sexually explicit dialogue. Viewer discretion is advised.
Okay. The word is out there, Kevin. We don't
this program contains sexually explicit dialogue. Viewer discretion is advised.
Let's not beat it into the ground because we do.
I have to warn you, some of this is clearly inappropriate for young viewers.
Okay,
please ask your children to leave the room.
We're going to be talking about an adult subject here, but that doesn't mean you have to overdo it.
The following program contains adult language and subject matter. Viewer discretion advised.
All right, I'm done.
Okay.
Let's
sure?
just wait. He's got another one.
I'm done. What do you mean?
There's always another one
I
in the
said
chamber.
I'm done.
You're
start
a
the
comedy
story.
Assassin.
I'm a comedy assassin.
I'll take it.
Yesterday
the following hot presentation is for mature audiences only.
Seriously. Yesterday on the program, we were discussing the recent story on Ryanair about the couple that decided to have sex in their seats.
And I believe we were a thumbs up. As long as there's no kids on the flight, thumbs up.
And my argument was, look, some things are not for public. There are lots of things you just, because you can do them in public doesn't mean you should do them in public, and that's one of them. It's not, you don't force other people to be in the room with you when you're having sex. You just don't. It's bad form. And then
Allie, going to Ibiza, though. I mean, really. They're on a flight to a party town. Come on
and
now.
And then, Allie, you saw a story yesterday of some other people who just couldn't be bothered to take it indoors. What happened?
Not just any people. Three people. And they were up on a roof getting a little freaky. And people called the police from another building. They're like, hey, there's three people doing it on the roof next door. And they went and accused them of having sex. And they said, we were getting freaky, but we thought that the position was private and out of sight up here on the roof where other people can see. Very odd story, but it's happening everywhere. People just doing it.
And you remember the singles party when we...
Hold on, before you move on. Mm-hmm. Very important detail here. Do we know the sexes of the people involved
we
in the
do.
Threesome?
It was Amanda, Joel, and of course, Kevin.
Oh, there was a Kevin.
Yeah, there
involved.
Was a Kevin. He might have been the lookout. He didn't do a good job.
Come on now. Why can't Kevin be in the middle of it? Why does he have to be the lookout?
And it's the devil's threesome too, right? It's
yeah.
two dudes and a chick,
yeah.
right?
Oh, everything about this story is wrong. Okay, so they didn't know people could see them.
They
yeah.
knew.
They, I think,
there's
they knew.
No, you're on a
yeah.
roof.
Yeah,
they're on a roof, but they didn't know
but
the
why?
Angle at which other buildings around them were able
Look,
to see them.
If you
possibly.
Can see other people can see you.
Right.
I mean, they knew.
Suspects were charged with disorderly conduct for, listen to this, here's how it's written in Pennsylvania where this happened, for the creation of physically offensive conditions. Wow, that's a
wait. Is there any way to make sexy time sound worse?
It's awful.
And just calling it sexy time
yeah,
is the only way.
Times did it.
If you call it sexy time, that's another one.
We're going to be taking your calls, by the way, of the weirdest place you have ever seen people have sex. That's the topic on the table here at 1-800-520-1068. You can call right now to get on the air. You can also text if you're not able to call. But Kevin, you were starting to say there's one you know of.
Well, we had a singles party where we took buses to Las Vegas, and those buses, man, it was all on.
Yeah, things happen.
People were full-on drunk by the time the bus driver closed the door to leave.
Oof.
There was some pre-partying going on.
Yeah.
So we stopped halfway to Vegas, and one of the couples, I don't know why, went up on top of a McDonald's.
On the roof of the McDonald's?
Yes, and they were having sex on top on the roof of the McDonald's.
That is
a choice.
Because, choice?
Yeah, and same thing with the people that are having sex on the roof in the other story is why go up on the roof? First of all, not comfortable.
No.
Second of all, I guess if you're into showing off, maybe, but
yeah. No, I don't. I think that's part of it? I think you go up on the roof because you don't think people can see you. Look, if you're...
What?
Yes.
Everyone could see them.
As opposed to being 30 feet lower where they would be in a McDonald's or in a car in a parking lot of a McDonald's where you're far more likely to be seen. That's way more private being up on the roof.
You don't remember this one.
Way more private.
They were way exposed.
You could see
I think they were totally into it. I also was at a resort in Mexico one time, and we were at the pool, and a woman just started screaming. Orgasmic screams.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And they were on the balcony.
Oh, I've seen that. Saw that in the Bahamas.
Third, fourth floor.
Yeah.
Where everybody at the pool could see them. And it was sort of an adults-only pool. So it was sort of... But they wanted everyone to know. They were very excited that everyone see. And that guy was really, really doing a job. I mean, he was...
putting in work.
I feel like he started in the room and took a running start, and then he would run back. I mean, it was really aggressive.
But that couple, yes, absolutely. They're facing an open pool area with hundreds of other customers.
Hold on, honey. I got to get a running start. That's what was happening there.
They definitely wanted to be seen.
Agreed.
I don't know about the roof people, but all right.
The roof people are definitely. First of all, that's a great group. And second of all, I think they knew they were
taking your calls and your texts at 1-800-520-1067. The weirdest place you saw people having sex. Why don't we go to West Covina, please, up first? Mario's on line two. He'll get us started here on K-Rock.
Hey, Mario.
Hey, what's up? How you guys doing?
Good. Strangest place you saw people having sex.
Strangest place I've seen.
This program contains sexually explicit dialogue.
Right.
Viewer discretion is advised.
All right, the warnings have been given. All right, let Mario tell a story, please.
Okay, all right. So, at my job, there's a room called the wellness room where we go get crickets for people. So, it's a Petco. That's where I was. I go into the wellness room. There's only one key, two keys, actually. The one that goes into it and the manager key.
Right.
I had the manager key at the time because I couldn't find the regular key.
Right.
So I go inside there, open the door, and of course there's something kind of blocking it. So I'm like, whatever, that happens often. So
you forced your way in, sure.
Forced my way in, look forward, and I just see shoes on their knees, and I figure there's stuff on the floor. But as I continue to walk in, the guy gets up and shuffles around, so I knew something's up. And sure as you know, I see one girl on the floor, and then the guy pulling up his pants and just buckling
up. I mean, honestly, they had locked the door.
Yeah,
though.
And it is the wellness room, right?
Yes, that is. But I don't know.
Mario, I think this one's on you, bud.
I do too. I feel like you're an unwanted intruder.
Mario.
Give their colleagues some privacy, man. What's
Mario?
Your name?
Oh my God.
They just want to get well. Leave them alone.
Hey, fix your goddamn life, Mario.
Thank you for calling.
All right, we have a bunch more calls. We'll take a break. 1-800-520-1067 for phone calls and tech. Barbie in Garden Grove. Hi, Barbie.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thank you.
We're talking about the weirdest places you've ever seen people having sex, taking calls and texts at 1-800-520-1067. Where were you?
So my best friend and I went to the movie theaters to see a movie, and the couple in front of us, all of a sudden, she started to give him oral in the movie theater.
Oh.
And? You were cool with it?
Wait, what? My best friend and I were just like, okay, there you go.
All right, that's happening.
What movie was it? Do you remember?
It was Sully.
Oh, Sully. I mean, how do you not get turned on at Sully?
I am hot thinking about it.
Great call, Barbie. Thanks. We'll take yours next after Renee on K-Rock.
This looks like it's going to be one of those fun topics we could go all day if we needed to. Hearing from so many people. You saw people having sex where? From the 714, I drove by a graveyard near where my kid's babysitter is and saw a couple making sex in the graveyard. That doesn't come to mind ordinarily, right?
Right, but don't say making sex.
I'm quoting the texter.
I know, I'm talking to the texter.
From the 949, when I was 16, I went to a Cure concert. Right next to me, people started shoving other people, and I'm like, what's going on, a mosh pit at a Cure concert? But no, it was just a couple banging while standing up. People kept pushing at them, but they didn't fall, nor did they stop. That's from John.
Hmm.
That's pretty impressive. All right, let's take some more calls at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with, let's start with Andrew and El Monte. And Orly, you hang on. We'll get to you right after Andrew. Andrew, you talk about the least likely place to ever have sex. What'd you see?
Yeah, hi, Kevin. Hi, Bean. Hi, Ellie.
Hi there.
My sister had just purchased a vehicle, and we were going to get insurance. So the insurance place is in El Monte. We walk into the complex where they lease businesses to them, and we knock on the door. And beforehand, when I'm walking up, I kind of hear something odd. I didn't really think anything of it until after the fact.
Right.
We knock on the door, and to my left is like a somewhat transparent window. I hear running, and all of a sudden, I see a woman fully nude running into a room right next to it.
What?
And I don't know what I'm really looking at, but my sister didn't see anything. Then all of a sudden, you hear the gentleman, which is the guy who was selling insurance, saying, "Hey, did they see you? Did they see you?" And then I kind of put, you know, two and two together.
Did you knock on the window and go ahead and finish? I'll wait.
No, but I should have, and I also should have threatened to call on them for cheaper insurance because our insurance is
right.
Really expensive.
Knock a couple hundred bucks off it.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So much for people working in the insurance business being boring, though. That's a great story. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Santa Monica as advertised. This is going to be Orly, line six, please.
All right. Hey, Orly.
Hey, guys.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you so much. So you guys were actually there.
Oh, dear.
Oh, yeah.
We were there.
You were there. It was breakfast with K-Rock at Sagebrush Cantina. I was in high school, and I worked at Sagebrush Cantina, and I cut school that day because I've listened to you guys since I was in high school, and I cut school that day so I could cocktail waitress this event, and it was with Jack Johnson.
I was going to ask which one it was.
You
okay.
Remember this? So there were buckets of tiny little mini Coronas,
sure.
Jack Johnson and you guys at
sure.
Sagebrush on that side patio.
Sure.
And two people, a girl just sat on top of her lover, and it was like the funniest, like slow Jack Johnson inspired sexual encounter at the wicker chair.
I don't know how you get it on with bubbly toes in the background. that doesn't scream sex to me.
All right. Thank you, Orly, for the call. We appreciate that.
That's fantastic,
wow.
By the way.
All right. Geez, where do you want to go next? We got a bunch of good ones.
Let's go Josh in Roland Heights. Hi, Josh. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Okay. Hey, K&B, what's happening? And Allie.
Hey.
So I was in the airport parking lot of LAX, specifically the one across from Tom Bradley. We've all been there.
Sure.
So walking through there, I look inside, you know, you can't help but look around, you know, because you're bored and waiting for your flight. I look over to this black Audi and some guy is, you know, just sitting there. Okay, yeah, that's fine. I guess he's just waiting for his flight. But then I see the unmistakable head of a blonde woman coming up and down in the near the steering wheel column.
Right.
She was making sex with her mouth.
Yeah, Josh. Yeah. Here's the thing. I get that in an airport parking lot. Completely get it. You're either leaving or you're coming back. You haven't seen someone in a long time. Maybe you're in a long-distance relationship. You can't wait to get home.
Also, I feel like there's so many cars that you wouldn't get noticed.
Yeah.
Unless
it's
Josh,
a pretty safe place.
Unless Josh is creeping around looking in windows, you know?
I miss that Audi.
That's true, too. Okay.
See,
so
I feel like it's on Josh. I'm sorry, you what?
I said I miss that Audi.
Yeah. All right.
Nice car.
Speaking of cars, by the way, and I'm sure cars are one of the most common places outside the home that anybody ever has sex, but from the 818, I saw people doing the deed in a drive-through car wash. They did not have tinted windows. but they were keeping it clean. You know,
but again, you're inside a car wash.
Yeah,
I don't know
it's
how
all sudsy.
See
who's
that.
Seeing that?
You're inside a car, but you don't have to steer. You know, you've got that like 4 minutes or whatever it
right.
is while you're in the car wash. That I guess you got time to kill.
4 minutes,
right?
You can do it twice.
Oh, condolences.
Hey, wait a minute.
Let's go to Rob in Los Angeles. Hi, Rob.
Hello. I used to work at a movie theater as a manager, and one night I was walking shows to keep an eye, make sure everything was going on, and I hear this noise coming from the trash area where those doors where you drop your trash into the bottom, and I open the doors, and there's two teenagers going at it in that trash area.
Oh, nothing sexier than sex in a trash area.
So what do you do in a situation like that, by the way?
Well, they got dressed really quick and went running out the door. Mm-hmm. But normally you call security and have them call the parents.
But come on, Rob. Right?
I even had one parent, one time we caught some teenagers doing it. The mom came in and was all upset because we called the parents and all upset at her daughter. And then the father came in, looked at the girl, and high-fived the son.
Oh, man.
Of course. All right. Thank you for the call, Rob. We're going to have to end it there. That's great. All right. We got to clear these lines. What's up next, Kevin? We've been advertising all day. We're giving away Galaxy tickets, right?
Yes. This Saturday night is the Galaxy playing the Houston Dynamo at StubHub Center, and we have a K-Rock section. And you can win tickets to get into that K-Rock section right now if you call. The game will include knowing team names. Is that giving away too much?
Okay.
No,
probably.
So you follow the MLS, basically.
Right, you follow the MLS.
I mean, that's a pretty big tell.
I mean, I really did kind of give it all away right there. But 1-800-520-1067 if you'd like to win tickets in the K-Rock section at StubHub Center for the Galaxy game this Saturday night.
Allie, I'm not going to lie, you look good this morning.
Oh, Bean, that is very kind. Thank you.
I feel like you were up late last night prepping mm-hmm. as much as you could because you have a very big day. Today is the day
uh-huh.
that could change the rest of your life.
Yeah, I have a big date today, you guys.
You have a date?
Big date.
Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, my dentist is saying it's an appointment, but we know what he
Wait,
means.
Wait, that's just semantics,
yeah,
really.
We know what he means.
You have an appointment at your dentist.
Appointment, date, whatever. Yeah.
So, for folks who don't know,
is work going to get done on your teeth?
Well, indeed. If all goes well.
Right. Maybe some lightning?
A couple of weeks ago.
Kevin.
God, I'm talking about her teeth.
A couple of weeks ago, Allie just exploded on Instagram. She could not contain her enthusiasm and excitement because she went to the dentist. And what, the old guy you were expecting to see had retired, right?
Yeah, he had retired, and he brought in this younger, quite handsome dentist. Mm-hmm. And he has an Instagram page, and I asked to take a picture of him as well. I said, listen, I need to post this because we had a conversation on the show. When you're in that dentist chair, do you look at your dentist? Do
Never.
You look away? Do you close your eyes? Those were the options.
The answers were look away or close your eyes.
Yeah.
Those were the answers across
Absolutely.
The board.
Absolutely. Never be creepy and look at them. And
right.
I was like, that's changed. This dentist.
So
I
you
am
were staring,
staring
deep into those eyes
yeah.
while he was taking a look at your mouth. And you were delighted mm-hmm. as you walked out and got the news that you had a cavity, so you'd have to come
yeah.
back, right?
First cavity in 2 decades.
Oh,
I was
you're
like,
so
yes!
So lucky.
Awesome. And even better. It's a cavity in between two teeth,
okay.
so he has to do like a crown or something.
That's not good.
No, it's good because here's the thing. It's going to take hours because they do that in office.
I
they
see.
Make whatever the crown thing is to
oh.
put. I assume they put it on being a crown. So you wait there while they mold it.
Right.
And obviously we'll be chatting the whole time. He probably
or
doesn't have
at
other,
lunch.
He doesn't have other
He probably will have a lot of other appointments
no, so we'll
or
just
dates, as you call them.
Really get to know each other. So,
I have a question, and I don't know if we have any dentists that are listening to the show, mm-hmm. but I would love it if you could call or text in real quick at 1-800-520-1067. I'm sure anybody that's attractive, male or female, is going to get hit on in the course of a workday, right? It's just as human nature. That's the opportunity you have. Is this
sure.
the person I met? I'm going to ask this person now. Is it automatically uncool to ask your dentist out or to try to initiate something personal with your dentist because of the relationship between a doctor and a patient?
Mm-hmm.
Does it violate some sort of medical
trust or something to go out with a patient if he's a doctor? And is it inappropriate for you as a patient to be interested in dating your doctor or dentist?
I will sign away any HIPAA rules, laws, anything, really.
Because I'm wondering good. If it's yeah. a different kind of relationship than, oh, the air conditioning repair man is hot. I think I'd like to date him. I mean, I don't see any conflict there, but for some reason in my mind.
Great example, though. Most air conditioning guys are super hot.
But I'm just saying, in my mind, I'm wondering if it's an automatic no-no to express interest in a medical professional if it's somebody who's treating you as a patient. That's what I don't know.
I assume that there's no law against a patient, starting that conversation. But I would imagine that it's against the dentist's rules.
I would think so.
To start that.
Yeah.
Except for if you're staring deeply into her eyes for 2.5 hours.
Right. Hopefully three.
How can he resist?
Nobody has ever wanted to spend more time at a dentist.
At the end of this appointment, I'm going to say, let's do more x-rays because I've been eating a lot of candy in the last 2 weeks. Might have another cavity. Let's
Allie,
do this.
Have you given some thought to what you're going to wear today? And I ask because you're kind of laying down in the dentist chair while he's working on you. So maybe something with a missing top button, perhaps?
Bean, I like where your head's at. Yeah, it's got to be something angle-wise that is
shows
attractive.
Off your best assets.
Yeah, because you don't want to wear something that you're like, oh, it's tight, and then you're just laying there and you're not comfortable.
Right.
But there should be something angle-wise from his eye view down.
So like something to
like entertain him.
A V-neck type of thing.
Right.
I like it.
Yes, this is disturbing.
I could send you this music so you can put it on your phone.
Oh, dear.
And then all of a sudden, it just
right?
I'll call, and this will be your ringtone.
Okay. But then immediately hang up.
Right, hang
and
on.
And then call back.
Okay.
And this is the next ringtone.
All right. Yeah. All right, so two calls. About 30 seconds apart.
Yeah.
And then it's on.
And then pony. I mean, I feel like that seals the deal once you have that. Yeah.
So I have to call out three times.
Three times, Kevin. Sorry. Okay. I know you're very busy.
But then hang up on that one.
Yeah.
And then call back.
Uh-huh.
Right? All right. I'll help you out.
By the way,
what do you think he would do if that happened?
I would be
awesome.
So mortified, first of all, if I was him. Women at his office, listen.
I'm not kidding. I will do that.
I know you would. I guarantee they're listening right now, and they're like, holy. This now it's become concerning. And I agree.
Are they going to cancel your dentist appointment?
They better not. I've got a facial, got waxed. I'm ready. You never know. You never know.
Why did you get waxed?
I think you know.
September 22nd, 2012, Demetrius Johnson won a 5-round split decision over Joseph Benavidez to win the UFC flyweight title. That was over 5 years ago, you guys. Guess what? Still wearing the belt. Demetrius Johnson joins us in studio on the Kevin DeBeach Show on K-Rock right now. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
5 years you've been carrying this belt around. No one can take it from you.
Yeah, man. 5 years. Five long, hard years. I'm very, very proud to say that. And let's hope we get another 5 years.
They say it's a lot harder to keep it than it is to win it. Is that true?
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah. You know, you see it time and time with champions. You know, Luke Rocco got his belt from Chris Weidman. Lost it the next time he fought against Michael Bisping, even though I'm a huge fan of Luke Rockhold and Michael Bisping. It was a tough fight. You look at Daniel Cormier, he kept it for a long time, and then he lost it to John Jones, but then they had that whole altercation and failing his drug test. It's very hard, so I'm very grateful to be able to stay healthy and be able to keep it.
Let's talk about John Jones for just a second, because no one was really surprised by his drug test that just came out.
I was.
Were you?
Yeah. I mean, I thought he was clean, man. And at the end of the day, you know, I think Dana White hit on the head, like, you know, people who don't do, you know, drugs like cocaine, they don't need it, but they still do it. So, I mean, I was just surprised, and I'm more for the better good for the guy.
He came in here on our show, though, and could not have been more sincere. And you looked deep into his eyes, and you believed him that he finally had beaten the demon, and he finally had straightened up and flying right, and it wasn't going to happen again. And then it was, womp, 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 here we go all over again. I mean, I can't get my head around why you risk everything like that. When you're fighting for, as we all know, he was fighting for redemption. You know what I mean? He was clearing his name. How did it happen, do you think?
You know, I don't know. Obviously, you know, they're going through all the process to check all the supplements. You know, he believes that it was in one of his supplements, which is it's very well be possible. That's one of the reasons why I don't take supplements, because I don't know what's in them.
You don't take anything?
Don't take anything. Just water, beer.
All right. Water and beer.
There you go.
That's the way to eat right there.
I love it. I love the reactions. Give reactions.
That is so interesting to me, Demetrius, because I would imagine, you know, you guys are professional athletes. You've got to be as finely tuned a machine as is humanly possible. I bet you have people advising you to take stuff. I bet people are always trying to get you to take stuff for your own benefit, right?
No, not at all. I mean, Matt.
Really?
He doesn't really take anything. And I think down the road, you know, I see on it. Has been doing really good work. I know a lot of fighters in the UFC have been taking on it, so maybe down the road I might look into that stuff because sometimes I want to, you know.
What is that? I'm sorry, I don't know what that is.
On it is basically a nutritional company that does, you know, MCT oil, protein, a lot of, you know, earth-based products, mm-hmm. which is cool. So, you know, on it has a lot of athletes on their roster, and they've mm-hmm. all passed their USADA drug test, so maybe I can look into them, but we'll see what happens.
Do you even take a multivitamin?
I do not.
Not even that.
No.
Just beer, B.
Just beer.
You get all your vitamin A, B, C, D, K, and all the beer you want.
That's what I've been telling people my whole life. They're not buying it. This is great news. So, Demetrius, how old are you now?
I'm 31.
And no one's come close to beating you?
Not that I know of. I mean, there's always tough fights. Fights are fights.
Right, but I mean, you generally win by a TKO or a submission. So, I mean, you're basically in control of virtually every fight, and if you don't, you win by decision. Are you going to retire the champion? What's your game plan here, man?
Well, I always tell people, the longer you stay in this sport, the less chance you get the chance to retire as a champion. You know, if I were to win this fight, I'm like, I'm done, I'm retired. You know, I retired as a champion, you know,
right.
Retiring at 31. But, you know... You know, I'm not making these John Jones paychecks, so I need to keep on fighting. You know, so if I put myself in 5 years, I'll be 36 years old. Who knows what my body's going to be like by then. If I'm the champion, that'd be awesome, but, you know, a dog always has his day.
Yeah. Now, a lot of people have written a lot in the last couple of years about how they feel the UFC undervalues you, that they don't promote you enough. You're one of the greatest champions they've ever had, pound for pound, one of the best fighters that ever lived. Do you feel like you are slighted by the UFC? They should be doing more and should be paying you more than they are.
Well, definitely paying me more. Let's get that out there.
I mean, beer's not cheap.
Yeah, it's not. It's not. And I don't drink, you know, I drink, you know, good beer.
Of course. Stout. Don't be ridiculous.
Yeah, stout. So with that being said, man, you know, that's the one thing that always irks me. You know, each time I meet people around the world, I jump in cabs, I go anywhere, and they realize who I am, they're like, they could do a better job promoting you. But I think they do a good – I mean
– You do.
But they put so much emphasis on other fighters who are unbeaten in however long, and usually your record is better than the person that they're touting as – the next big thing.
Yeah, so like...
So that's crazy.
Yeah, so like for me to sit here and argue with that when that's your that's your personal opinion, where it's like, dude, they need to market you more. Then I 100% agree with you. They should, you know. And when you have not just, you know, people from all around the world say that. Like when I meet people, they're like, they don't do a good job marketing you. And I'm like, I don't know how to respond to
that.
Why
do you think that is? Do you think they just prize size? They like the bigger fighters?
I don't know.
Why? It doesn't make sense. They have a champion who's been a champion for a long time and is great.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Doesn't that help him? Yeah, I don't know why I'm asking you these questions.
There's a man right there. His name's Chris Costello. You can ask him. He's coming here. He's
Chris, you're not doing a good job.
I know.
Stepping up.
I mean, they're doing a good job right now. We're out here in California doing the media rounds. We're on this beautiful station right here. And, you know, I'm spreading the word. And I've been here for 5 years. And I'm going to keep on spreading the word and keep on putting on great performances.
The guy doesn't even take vitamins. Come
on. The fight is going to be at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. Now, it is a co-headlining event, UFC 216, right? Do you agree with that? Does that tick you off?
No, not at all. I mean, I had my opportunity to headline at UFC 215. Unfortunately, Ray Borg got sick. You know, this was Kevin Lee and Tony Ferguson's card to begin with. This is their main event.
So you're crashing their party.
No, I'm just joining the party.
Okay, join it.
I'm the appetizer. They'll be the main course. They'll be the main event.
What was – I never heard details on what Ray Borg – Ray Borg did not get injured in training or anything like that. He was sick, right?
Yeah, the diagnosis was a viral infection. He was just sick.
Have you fought when you're sick?
Absolutely.
I assume every fighter has fought when they're sick and injured, both.
Yeah, I mean, it's very rare a fighter goes in there, you know, not injured. But like when I fought Kyojo Horiguchi in Montreal, everything I ate came out the other end.
Oh, no.
I would literally eat something, and it's like, you know, usually when you're sick, you eat something and it goes, oh, my tummy's not feeling well.
Right.
2 hours later, you go. No, for me, it was literally, like, I'll have a great, I'm like, oh, my God, I got to go.
Food in, food out.
Yeah, it was literally like that.
It just didn't even slow down?
Didn't even slow down, literally. Like, I would have, like, a big, and my coach like, dude, you're sick. And USC goes, hey, we need you to do some media. I'm like, I'm not getting out of bed.
Wow.
Or you're not going to have a main event. And then eventually about around Wednesday night, maybe Thursday morning, I came around, did the media, and I made weight, and I went out there fighting.
Were you thinking of, am I going to be able to do this?
Yes.
Because I imagine you can't be energetic.
I was not energetic. I remember yelling at the UFC. I was like, come over here now. I'm about to take this. I was going to take Tylenol. They're like, no, don't do it. I'm like, it's freaking Tylenol. I have a headache. I'm sick. I'm taking it. She goes, yo, Pop. Here, take Advil instead. I'm like, oh, my God. Really? Advil? They sat there watching the game. I'm like, I'm going back to my room. Goodbye. And then, you know, then literally made weight and then went out there fighting. I remember fighting. I was like, I don't want to be here right now.
Wow.
But we pulled through. We got the arm bar. And we got the check.
Did you wear a diaper that night, Demetrius?
No. By then, the flow.
Were you worried about that?
No. By then, the flow. But I remember, like, after the fight,
I'm sorry. By then, the flow. I don't want to hear about the flow.
I want to hear the end of that sentence.
By then, everything was good.
Okay, good.
Okay, we're good.
All right. UFC 216, T-Mobile Arena, Las Vegas. You can, of course, watch it on pay-per-view this Saturday. So many questions for our guest. Demetrius Johnson is here. And by the way, if you haven't heard, I'm very excited for this next segment, Demetrius, and here's why. There may be people listening right now who don't know what your awesome plan is for your post-MMA career. And I think they're going to be blown away when they hear what you're doing semi-professionally now, but soon to be professionally all the way. It's a fascinating thing, and we'll talk about it next year on K-Rock. Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson in studio with us here on the Kevin Amin Show. He knows more about beer than I know about anything, by the way.
That was
crazy listening to you talk through that song, Demetrius. Before we talk about the thing that I want to talk about, which is your backup career after MMA, is it true that you're sitting at home at 18 years old watching The Ultimate Fighter, and that's where the light bulb went off over your head? You hadn't ever thought about fighting before, but then you said, hey, that looks like fun. I want to try that.
100% true. I was literally home from school, and I remember seeing Rashad Evans, and I remember back in the time they had to do challenges to be able to pick and choose who you're going to fight, and I remember Rashad Evans hitting his bag up on a hill, and I was like, man, they look like they can fight. They got a good workout. So ever since then, I went to the gym, started hitting the bag, and voila, here we are today.
You played a bunch of different sports in high school, I assume?
Yeah, I did wrestling, track, cross-country, football, basketball. I mean, I was a multi-sport athlete in high school and in middle school. But I really loved wrestling because I play football, then we'll lose the game. And I'm like, well, that was funny. I had no contribution to this, and I'm still getting
booed. That makes sense, yeah.
You know what I mean? And then when it came to wrestling, I was like, I can work out as hard as I want.
And it's all on my shoulders.
It's all on my shoulders, you know? So that really that gravitated me to that sport.
So if there hadn't been a UFC for you to stumble into, I wonder what you would have grown up and been.
I'll probably be in a warehouse somewhere.
That's not as good. Working.
No, absolutely not. I also got, you know, with UFC, it's able me to provide a life that I can never fathom a living. It's giving me a life to be able to buy nice things and give my children a place to grow up and things I didn't have growing up.
So told us before that you used to work out, I don't know, an hour away from your home, and you used to go there and sleep on a couch. I found that a little sad. Like, I don't – why are you sleeping on a couch?
You know, and then
– and that couch is nasty.
It's a very nasty couch, yeah. I think it has Ebola. I think if we took it to the hospital, they'd be like, that thing needs to be in a hazardous waste. That's what I think it would be.
You don't still do that, right?
I don't do that anymore. Okay, no. Right. I mean, I still go up to the gym. I don't like sleeping between training sessions now because I have children. Before, but if I had kids, I would try to get a nap in and then go home and chill and go to bed. But so no more naps, play video games between training session, and that couch is still there, believe it or not.
All right. Now that leads us into video games. A lot of people don't know this, but Demetrius Johnson is a Twitcher and a streamer extraordinaire. And you are not only doing it for entertainment, I mean, you are committed to this kind of as your post-MMA career, right?
Absolutely. You know, we just built another house, and we got my own studio room. I just ordered a beautiful 8x12 green screen I'm going to put on the wall. I got a Rode NT microphone. I got a soundboard, so when I see, you know, the technician over there doing the levels and moving up, boosting my mic. I knew all about that stuff. So I'm very excited about this career path of mine. I've been a huge gamer since I was a child, and now to be able to pursue this career as another opportunity to make a living.
It's so odd that that's considered a career that you could pursue.
Well, yeah.
I know that it has been for a little while, but still, I think parents at least would be surprised to hear that that's actually a thing, a real thing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, obviously, I had a way a bigger jump than a lot of other streamers did because obviously I'm, you know, a mixed martial artist. I'm a professional athlete, so I have a following already. But to give viewers a different part of my life that I'm actually truly passionate about,
right?
You know, it's not fake. It's what I love to do, and I get to interact with my fans on that platform. It gives me a good, a warm feeling in my heart.
Now, there's the novelty factor, if you will, and I don't mean that to be dismissive of people tuning in to see the celebrity that they know play. But at some point, you have to be good, really good, to be able to exist in that environment years down the road, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's two different worlds you're talking about. So right now, I'm in that entertainment world where I'm interacting with the fans on a different level. And then there's another side of it where it's called esports athletes. And it's funny because a lot of the esports athletes, they don't have a great personality. They're not very charismatic. They're not very very sociable people because
right.
they spent, you know, hours and hours and hours in front of a damn.
They're just basically silent.
They're basically silent playing video games all the time. Yeah, exactly. So when I go to a Twitch stream, I'll see a guy play, and I'm looking more for the interact. I'm looking for entertainment. And then there's guys who don't entertain, and they have like 8,000 people, and then I get bored. I'm like, dude, like, you keep on saying the same thing and all that stuff, to where I come in to where I kind of give a different, you know, outlook. And I think everybody on Twitch, there's so many different broadcasters that.
Now, this is interesting to me because you are not known as a big smack talker in the Octagon.
No.
How about as a streamer? Are you doing some smack talking with the other gamers?
100%. 100%. I like running people over all the time. Like, I will literally play the game. Like, all right, guys, you guys ever seen the movie called Maximum Overdrive? It's an old movie. Cars go crazy, vehicles go crazy, and just run people over. I will literally just run six people over just to laugh so hard.
Why are you like that in your gaming life but not in UFC?
Because it's different. I don't know. It's just different. Like, I don't know what, you know, that's one thing that one of my coaches love about me is that I can truly see that gaming brings out a different side of you that you're truly passionate about. Like, when I started streaming on Twitch, you know, there was no income coming in at all. Like,
right.
I just love playing video games.
Yeah.
And now, you know, I get my first on-call casting, you know, at TwitchCon coming up here pretty soon in Long Beach. I'm looking forward to that. And it's able to turn something into just like mixed martial arts. I enjoyed it and I was having fun with it. And now, look, I'm making, you know, millions of dollars doing what I love.
Oh. Isn't it so funny, Kevin, that most of the gamers who trash talk in a million years would never be able to back it up? You know what I mean?
True.
They only do it because the other people are anonymous and they'll never meet them. Demetrius is a guy who's used to saying things out loud and then proving he can back it up.
Yeah.
That is a fascinating one-two punch of your careers. Now, before we let you go, again, T-Mobile Arena Las Vegas this Saturday night. The co-main event is Johnson versus Borg, flyweight title fight. You're going to win this one, and you're going to win a couple more. How long are you going to go, Demetrius? What do you think? 2 years? 3 years? 5 years?
Five years. I give myself 5 more years. You know, I'm already working on my other transition out of this career into streaming, but I give myself 5 more years. Why not? You know, might as well just milk this body for everything it's got. Be 37 years old, then I don't have to worry about going back to working at Costco and all that stuff. I can just focus on my gaming career, spend time with my kids. When they're starting to do their athletic career, I could be part of it.
That's a hell of a plan.
That's an awesome plan.
I'm working hard at it, man.
I love it.
Well, we have been telling you for years that you are one of our very favorite fighters in the game, man. We always root for you. We always see your fights, and we love it when you stop by the Kevin Bean Show to visit. So good luck. Have a great weekend, man.
Appreciate you guys, too.
Thank you.
Ralph was talking about this in the Showbiz Beat yesterday. Ozzy Osbourne, I don't know what he's got that every woman wants a piece of.
He's a rock star.
He is a rock star.
That's
it. But look at him.
But that's it. That's all you need.
But listen to him. And also, how does he keep cheating on his lovely wife, Sharon, and still get her to take him back?
He's Ozzy.
He is definitely Ozzy. I can't argue with that. Here's the report from E! Entertainment Television.
Sharon Osbourne says Ozzy cheated on her with six women. The talk co-host tells The Telegraph he had women in different countries. Basically, if you're a woman giving Ozzy either a back rub or a trolley of food, God help you. Sharon adds his mistresses included a Russian teenager, masseuses in both England and the U.S., and the family cook. When I found out about the hairdresser, I couldn't believe it, she says. Ozzy later sought treatment for sex addiction and the pair reconciled. Sharon believes her rock star hubby cheated because he was doing it to fill the void in some way.
Someone.
Right? Yeah,
right.
A Russian teenager.
What's happening? Everybody that came in contact with him.
Yeah.
He can't stop having sex with whoever's in the room with him. And what's a trolley of food is another question that I have. Who brings food out in a trolley? Anyone?
I demand it now.
Let's get Ozzy Osbourne on the phone here like we do from time to time here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He sometimes will come on and talk with us. Let's see if he has anything to say about this story. Ozzy, you there, buddy?
The trolley.
Yes.
It's a cart with wheels.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay.
Push
a cart.
Push it.
Here in America, we would call that a cart. You got a trolley. Okay,
oh,
I got you.
Oh, I'm from England.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, you are.
So is my wife.
Yes, that's true
so
as well.
So we have other ways of seeing things.
Different words.
Difference.
Right. Yeah, I understand.
Sharon!
Well, we just want to talk.
The trolley is.
We just want to talk to you right now, Ozzy. So,
hello?
Have you been? It's Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, sir?
Oh, Kevin and Bean on here. Can I take a message?
No, it's, we're Kevin and Bean. We're called to talk to you.
Someone just called for you.
No, that was us.
It's
still us.
I don't know who it was.
No,
them back.
It's still us. It's us. So, how's it going with Sharon?
Hello?
It's Kevin and Bean. Can you hear us, Ozzy?
Ozzy!
No, you're Ozzy.
You're Ozzy.
Hello?
Hi, Ozzy.
Is this Ozzy? I love you.
No.
I'm a huge fan of yours, Ozzy.
No, you're...
And Black Sabbath is just smashing music and amazing with all those songs.
How many women are you currently having sex with, Ozzy?
Let me look at my penis.
Oh, no.
I don't think
none.
You've been...
Okay. None are on my penis as we speak.
No. I mean, in general, though. Is Sharon
you
the
said
only...
currently.
No, I meant in this point in time. Is Sharon the only...
Sharon, you said currently doesn't have a trolley.
We don't need to talk to Sharon. Is Sharon the
Hello?
Only... Is
hey,
Sharon
Ozzy.
The only...
Is this Ozzy?
No.
You're Ozzy.
Oh, Kevin and Pete want to talk to you.
No.
Hold on. Ozzy!
Kevin, why don't you handle this? I'm not having any luck.
Hello?
Ozzy, the report is that you were having sex with everybody you met. Is that true?
That is... No, it's not true at all.
It's
no,
not,
it's
Sharon
not true
said
at all.
It. Sharon said it was basically your chef and every masseuse you met and everybody that you employed.
No, that's six or seven people.
Right.
Not everyone.
Right.
I met Rosie O'Donnell once.
Okay, and you were able to resist? Okay.
Okay,
all right, well, that's something. That's a good start.
So it's not everyone, but I was filling voids.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah, still a lot of voids, yeah. Ozzy, do you believe you really had sex addiction, or are you just a horn dog who had the opportunity to do it with all these women, so decided to do it?
Here's the thing. I love food.
Okay.
And massages.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just, I would get so excited by food and massages.
Right.
That I had to express myself.
And you're in love with getting your hair cut also?
Yeah!
Because one of your hairstylists
was
in
hairstyling so much.
Right.
And Russian teenagers.
Yeah.
I've got nothing for that one. Yeah. Just a Russian teenager. Do svidaniya. Dust within you.
Hallie, you're our resident Killers expert. Has Brandon Flowers ever regretted the lyrics to that song?
I don't think so.
Hmm. He's so, are we human, are we dancer? Sticking with that, okay with that, thumbs up.
I believe so, because even I, who, it's my least favorite Killer song,
mm-hmm.
I hear it in concert, and I'm like, yeah, everyone's singing along.
That's true.
It's just, people dig it.
I dig it too. I love that song. It's just dumb as F. That's
oh,
all I'm
sure,
saying.
Sure.
But I love it. Hey, congratulations to Regina Silos. Thank you so much for listening out in Rancho Cucamonga. You have just won a pair of tickets to Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights. We've got them for you all day long here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And right now it's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Hey everybody, gather all the kitties around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head.
Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I love death.
Gonna keep it real here and tell you that we haven't done a Bean's Death Corner in a while. You know, the world is so crazy these days that it's hard to get as excited about bad news as I used to. You know what
That's
I mean?
That's a strange thing to say, but for those of you that listen only occasionally, Bean literally has Google alerts on his phone for people who die.
Mm-hmm.
He loves death. I've never met another person in my life that doesn't feel
it. I wouldn't say I'm obsessed.
You're obsessed.
I am intrigued and interested, certainly. But, you know, just like they say that disaster movies aren't doing very well at the box office right now because the world is such a scary place, that's how it's been with me with death. Oh. I'll see a death, and I'll go, too much bad news out there to get excited about this one.
You're saying the world's too bad for you to enjoy your sweet, sweet death?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. For instance, Kevin, maybe you saw this headline. It's everywhere. I'm not even going to do the story about the Russian cannibals. Did you hear about the couple?
Oh, dear.
The Russian cannibals?
No.
I won't even do it. The details are too grisly for that,
but
if you are interested, please do a Google search yourself for the Russian cannibal story because it's something else. I will, however, do this one. Stripper from Tampa thought his partner was a cannibal, so he stabbed him in the eyes. I will do that story.
Oh, God.
This could have been What's Up with Florida, but it ended up in Death's Corner because a male stripper from Tampa is accused of stabbing his partner multiple times in the eyes with a pen after he suspected he was a cannibal. Justin Calhoun, 24, being held without bond on attempted second-degree murder after he attacked Mark Bran, 67. He's 24. His partner is 67.
That is not how you want to go.
In his Key West home, Calhoun told police he and Bran were in a relationship and that the incident started because Calhoun suspected Bran of being a cannibal. Nothing else in the story. No other reference in the story as to why he thought that his partner was cannibal, by the way. I would be interested to know that detail.
Right. Is he chewing on your arm at the moment?
All right. The two got into the argument. Bran picked up a gun. Calhoun managed to take the gun away from Bran, tried to shoot him with it, but the gun jammed, the report states. Then he stabbed Bran in the eye with a pen and stuffed a piece of wood in his mouth.
Oh, God.
He ran away as officers surrounded the building. He was arrested shortly thereafter. Bran was taken to the hospital in critical condition and later died. So that is one cannibal story that I'm fine with. I think we can all agree on this, by the way. Don't get a penis enlargement surgery, guys. Just don't. I never see stories where that ends up working out well.
It doesn't seem to be the guys going, you know what? Changed my life. Everything's great.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Does it work? Are they successful? Or is everybody who goes in for that procedure ultimately disappointed in it?
Maybe that's a Dr. Drew question for later.
One man's penis enlargement surgery turned fatal and has become a cautionary tale. Doctors in Sweden warning those desire to enhance their manhood. A healthy 30-year-old man in Stockholm wanted to increase both the girth and the length of his genitals using a process where fat is transferred from his belly into his penis. The man was one of, listen to this, 8,400 people who last year seek to enhance the girth of their penis.
Wow.
Statistics were not available on the length, however. They only have girth stats. A description of the case in the Journal of Forensic Sciences explained that the surgeons had finished the elongation portion of the surgery and were in the enlargement part, which involved injecting the patient with 2 fluid ounces of his own fat cells. That's when things went wrong. The fat leaked into his veins and traveled to his lungs.
Oh, my God.
Which resulted in a lung embolism rupturing his blood vessels. He had no prior heart condition but ended up having a heart attack and dying on the operating table. Again, he's 30 years old and in excellent health when he goes in for this surgery. A urologist at the Mayo Clinic says it's a completely useless surgery. It never works. There are horrible consequences from disfigurement to permanent erectile dysfunction or even worse. Don't do it. That's a good takeaway from today's Kevin and Bean Show.
Sure.
Right? Don't let them inject fat from your belly into your junk, you guys. Wow, we're almost out of time here. How about this? Tragedy struck a Michigan family twice this month after a man was thrown to his death Sunday from a boat. What was he doing out on Lake Superior, Kevin, when he fell over and died? What do you think he was doing out on the water? He's in a boat. He's doing what?
I mean, fishing is all I can think of. But
you're right. He was spreading his late father's ashes in the lake.
Oh.
How about
and
that?
He died?
And he fell over. A witness on the shore told police he saw the boat take a sharp turn, spilling those aboard into Lake Superior. I mean, he was 59 years old, a local musician, planned the trip to honor his father. He said he was looking forward to and happy to go out and spread his father's ashes and follow his dad's final wishes. And now they're having a double funeral. That is that's bad news for that family, right?
But depending on what you believe, he's with his dad. So that's good.
I mean, way to look at the bright side.
Right?
I guess. All right, yeah. We'll end on a happy note. This has been Bean's Death Corner.
That was Bean's Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
Hey, I don't know how it came up yesterday, but somehow the topic of mani-pedis happened off the air. I have never had a mani-pedi in my life.
Oh.
Never have I had my my nails professionally attended to.
Well, that's sad.
But apparently it's a thing that even increasingly men are doing.
Absolutely.
Not you're missing out, dude.
Am I really?
Yeah.
Does it feel good?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've heard your story.
Well, maybe a little too good. Here's how it started. Dave said, "My girlfriend's out of town. Allie, you want to get a mani-pedi with me?" Actually, he said mani-patty. And I'm like, what's a patty?
By the way, Dave spells it that way, too, mani-patty.
Well, that's the way it's spelled. But
it's nope. Patty.
Oh, no. It's
P-E-D-I.
Yeah.
Oh, God bless him. But my response was, oh, no, I can't get mani-pedis where you go, because you would probably go to one of those places. It's a little cheaper, quicker. People are all just lined up.
Right.
And he's like, what? What are you talking about? And I said, oh, I'm deathly allergic to something that they use.
Oh, no kidding.
And I found this out in high school, and I was going to go to prom, so I was getting my first set of acrylic nails. Big, big deal. She got through three nails, and I thought, I don't feel right. Something's wrong. So I got up and went to the bathroom. The next thing I knew, I was on the ground. So I fainted in the bathroom, hit my chin on the sink on the way down. It was a bad situation.
Wow, you almost died. Yeah. What a way to go. That would suck.
Awful.
So, Allie,
and only three of my fingernails look good.
That's the worst part.
Let me press pause for 1 second. Mm-hmm. What is in the low-end mani-pedi shop that isn't in the high-end? Aren't they using essentially the same sorts of materials and chemicals on?
I can't go to places that do acrylic nails. I have to go to actual spas that don't do any of that, which tend to be super expensive, and stink. They're the worst. But cut to, my mom picks me up. She brings me back the next day thinking, okay, maybe you hadn't eaten, you were hot, something. Pass out again. I'm now done.
Now it's
I'm
funny.
Now,
next day, your mom's bringing you in, and everybody's like, yeah!
Here she is. Yeah.
Are you sure you're not just allergic to Vietnamese food, maybe, at the place?
No, not at all.
Okay, all right.
Cut to probably 15 years later, I see a place, and they said, oh, no, we don't do acrylic nails here. We don't do that. Come on in. And I was getting a pedicure. And I thought, okay, this is great. Awesome. Next thing I remember... an ambulance. I came to in the ambulance, and they're like, how are you? And I'm like, what? What happened? I apparently had like a little seizure.
Oh my gosh.
And there was a nurse in there, and she's like, call 911. So I had to get checked out, everything. They're like, you are completely allergic, whether it's the acrylic, something. There's something that you smell, and your brain just goes, nope.
I'm out. Is that the only thing that you know of that you are allergic to by smell?
But it happens if I smell paint, if it's something...
Oh, that's a shame. Paint smells great.
Something chemical in it that I just get
Kevin
woozy.
Kevin takes a whiff every morning on his way out of the garage.
He's a huffer.
I do.
Yeah. So I said, we can't go to one of those places, Dave. And then Dave's eyes lit up at the memory of his last time going
in. What happened, Dave?
Well, first of all, I kind of got like... my girlfriend introduced me to mani-pedis, and they're awesome. So I went on my own... And I sit down, and the guy's like, what would you like? And I pick the basic one, and he gives me suggestions. Like, you should get this. And so I'm like, all right, cool. So when I pay for it, it ends up being like about $95, $100.
Isn't that way expensive?
Way.
Yes. I mean, I guess I chose everything. But what I chose was like a massage, some treatment on your feet and your hands.
Like a callus remover.
Yeah, like hot gel and stuff like that. But... during the massage...
That wasn't gel.
Yeah.
Right?
During the massage, first of all, it was two guys working on me, which was fine.
One cup?
Yeah. But during the massage, the guy starts massaging up my leg, and he starts looking at me. And he's like, you like? And I'm like, yes.
Yes, it feels right? good. And I'm looking away. I'm trying not to get eye contact. And all I can think right. about is Allie and her dentist. Like, gee, where do I look? And he's just going, he's like going hard at it. And he's like,
yeah.
Feel good? Feel good? I'm like, yes, stop it. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
It feels good.
It feels so yes. good.
Yes.
Now, David, at some point, it would run through my mind that we have always learned that there are two kinds of massage places.
Mm-hmm.
They're the quote-unquote legitimate ones.
Oh,
and then
Dave went to the wrong one.
Then the massage with release, as they say.
Oh.
Did it occur to you that maybe that's where this was headed? Is he was like kind of checking out your interest in taking it in the back?
Wow.
Oh.
Wow. Whoa. Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Well, you know, first it was just the guy.
The back room.
I mean, first it was just the guy going up my leg, but then the guy in the hat starts going in on me, and I'm like, oh, dude, whoa. I'm getting double teamed.
Yeah,
here.
You were.
And they keep saying, do you like, feel good? And I'm like,
yeah.
Yes,
I
do. In the place, and I'm like, okay, what do I do? And then at some point, I just gave in and said, yeah, it all feels great. And
was, dude, I yeah. think to me, mm-hmm. it sounds like $95 was a bargain.
That's what I'm saying.
Right? You're lucky you didn't get pregnant.
Yep.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:37.
Give me a little Star Wars, would you please? A little Star Wars theme for. Yeah. Last night. A lot of reason to watch Monday Night Football, even if you weren't a Vikings fan, because they debuted the new, and I assume, Allie, final trailer for The Last Jedi?
I would assume, yeah.
Yeah, because we're getting close here now. It's coming out on December 15th. Tickets went on sale last night. It sounds like you already got yours.
Of course.
Right?
She got it for like 5 days in a row.
I did. I got it for a Thursday night, the night before it officially comes out.
Sure.
Like
we,
because
you're cool
that way.
We're gonna
I'm
do
awesome.
This.
Yeah.
We're gonna do this again. We did this for Rogue One. I think we did it for Force Awakens, and we need to reach out to our Star Wars super fans right now because we all saw the trailer and loved it. But I know that we didn't get nearly as much out of it as you did. We need the frame by framers to give us a call right now at 1-800-520-106. I know you hate this, Alan.
I hate it.
Why do you hate it?
Let it breathe. Let it be. Watch the trailer. Enjoy it. Go, whoa, I have questions. And then you know what? Have your questions answered on December 15th.
They will.
To break down each part, I just, ugh.
Okay, but even if it's not a breakdown, how about just, it's fun to see new stuff. Like, it's fun to see Supreme Leader Snoke now in the flesh rather than just as a hologram. I mean, that's the type of thing that a Star Wars fan goes, oh my God, like I couldn't already be excited, more excited than I am. But okay. Now that's just one more question. Cool thing to look forward to.
All right.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, all this does is give us more reasons to, you know, to count down to December 15th. You know what I mean?
Agreed.
Okay.
Kevin, you saw the trailer.
Yes.
What did you think?
I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, it was incredible.
There's a lot going on with the Force, man.
I do have one.
Sorry? There's a lot going on with that Force.
All right. See, that's the kind of insight you're going to get from this program.
Well, this is why I'm not the guy. This is why okay. That's why we're taking the Star Wars super fans at 1-800-520-1067.
All right. Are we playing
the trailer? Let's go through it. Sure.
All right. Okay, this is music.
When I found you, I saw raw, untamed power.
All right, now, so that is Supreme Leader Snoke, who, by the way, is Andy Serkis' character, if I remember correctly, right? Andy Serkis is doing Snoke, right?
I don't know.
Okay. He's talking about...
Well, we don't see him yet, do we?
Mm-hmm. Not yet,
okay.
No. He's at the end.
Okay.
We're talking... He's talking about who? Is he talking about Kylo Ren there with the raw power, do we think?
No.
No,
he's talking about Rey.
He's talking
good
about Rey.
Yeah, he's talking about Rey.
This is why I'm asking.
Right. All right, let's continue.
And beyond that... truly special.
All right, so now we go to the island, right? She's
mm-hmm.
on the island,
mm-hmm.
and she's got the taser thing.
Yeah, because you think he's talking
taser
about
thing,
wait,
taser
yeah.
thing,
taser thing,
oh,
Kevin.
Okay, I'm leaving.
How about lightsaber? How about lightsaber?
That's what I meant, lightsaber.
All right, so let me ask you this.
All right,
I'm not talking to the bad man now, Allie. I'm just
How
talking to you.
You.
Is this Luke's lightsaber that she brought back to
Gavin? Here's the thing. You hear Snoke. He could be talking about Kylo Ren. Mm-hmm. But then with what Luke says here, you think, oh, maybe Snoke's talking about Rey because Luke's talking about Rey. What? Again, questions.
Music.
Something inside me has always been there. But now it's awake. And I need help.
All right, stop right there. So that's Rey coming to terms with the Force Awakening, if you'll pardon the pun, in her. She's learning about her powers much like Luke did when he went and learned under Yoda, right?
Yes.
That's what that's about?
Yes.
My question before was, is that Luke's lightsaber that she brought back to him, or is that now her own lightsaber that she is learning on?
Could it be the same thing?
Does that matter?
It could be. Who knows? I heard talk. Well, let's talk to Dan. Maybe Dan can answer the question because he's in Pico Rivera.
Not playing it yet.
I know, but that's okay. He can weigh in here. Dan, Pico Rivera, Star Wars fan. How are you, man?
Oh, I'm doing great. Good morning, everyone.
Morning. So your thoughts?
Oh my God, I watched it and I had to rewind it 5 times to watch it. Oh, actually, 3 or 4 times by myself. Then I called my daughters in to watch it with me, and we all got the chills watching it.
Right. Same. So then, do you have any input for us?
I noticed that when Rey was giving the lightsaber to Luke, it looked like it was damaged, and so I'm thinking that when he lost it on Bespin, it probably didn't work. So I'm thinking part of the training is also Rey trying to create her own or fix Luke's lightsaber so that it becomes her own lightsaber as well.
I don't hate that. That sounds good.
I heard somebody say last night that the lightsaber was white, though, and it was the first time we had seen a white lightsaber.
Well, in the original movies, they did white because it was hard to do colored special effects, and then later on in the special editions, they added in the colors again.
Don't act like this isn't real, first of all.
Dan, what is your biggest question that you can't wait to have answered in The Last Jedi?
Oh, my God. Well, from the trailer, I hope this doesn't happen that way, but it hinted that Kylo might kill his mom, in which case, that brought me to near tears.
Oh, my God.
Seeing Princess Leia, I was sobbing. And then when he's flying and he's about to press that button and just annihilate his mother, I was like, I can't take it.
But there was a hint in his face that he couldn't do it.
Yeah. And then at the end of the trailer, you're like, oh, my God, does she go to the dark side? Or, plot twist, does she bring him to the light? What? That's what I'm saying, right? Who's with me?
I'm with you, Allie, 100%.
I like it.
Dan, thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Rob, Newport Beach, up next, line 3 here on the Kevin Beach Show. Rob, help us from listening to Allie talk to herself.
I love Allie. She's a true Star Wars fan. I love her.
Yes, she is. That. All right, so what are your thoughts? You've seen The Last Jedi 100 times since last night. What's going on in your head?
You know, there's a lot of trips to these trailers nowadays, and I'm still leaning on the rumor that Rey's going dark and Kylo's.
That's what it looks like. It looked like near the end that she's going to be trained by Kylo Ren.
You would think, wouldn't you?
That's what it looks like.
There's a lot of hints in the canon. Allie would know that going in that this is the inevitable. Mm-hmm. And but I'm really looking forward to seeing Lando at the funeral.
I'm looking forward to seeing Finn and Phasma.
Yeah.
Hello? Dress, he's like, Imperial officer uniform with his lightsaber going up.
Taser.
Okay, yes, his taser, his light-up thing, Kevin. But that one clip of him and Phasma, I literally was like, wow! Can't wait for that. This movie, I am beyond.
Yeah.
Well, look, really?
Look, it's going to be great.
I don't know if you can tell.
And Rian Johnson's a great director, and there's nothing to not love. But I have to ask you guys, because we're almost out of time, and I hate this because we have so many great calls on the line. But
Poe Dameron? Yeah, I would.
Not that. No? Your Porg thoughts.
I didn't mind the little Porg.
Really?
He's Chewie's buddy. Chewie have a buddy. My God, he's been through enough.
Who's captaining that ship? Who's running the Millennium Falcon now? Is Chewie still the first officer?
Absolutely.
And who's running it? Who's the pilot?
Look, if characters like Porg work, they're awesome.
Yeah.
But if they don't work, they're Jar Jar Binks.
Wow.
No.
And this doesn't look like
put that on.
This doesn't look like that. It looks great to me.
Yeah.
All right. For folks who haven't gotten their tickets yet, Allie, are all the pre-sales are gone, I imagine, probably for first couple of days.
I don't think so.
No, they went on sale last night. Yeah, a lot of people weren't thinking they could order them now. So.
All right.
Plus, they showed so many places.
Yes.
All right. Get on it, you guys. Get your tickets. Rob, thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. Star Wars.
Give you tickets to the NHL All-Star Game. Hey, should we open up the phones for that thing?
Sure.
Pair of tickets to the 2017 Coors Light NHL All-Star Skills Competition happening Saturday at Staples Center. Also tickets to the 2017 Honda NHL All-Star Game Sunday. And you're qualified to win the grand prize that we'll tell you about when we get you on the line. We're looking for you right now at 1-800-520-1067. You are a hockey fan. You know a little something about hockey and its players. This one's for you, 1-800-520-1067. We'll play the game coming up in minutes on K-Rock.
On Wednesdays, we do the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices, and we always look forward to it because it's such a great feature.
It's my favorite part of the week.
Right?
Yeah.
Bean?
Absolutely. Ralph? I love it, and the listeners do too.
Bye! Oh, gosh. American
Pie
drove my...
Why do I feel like whatever animal it lands on is going to be singing a Don McLean song?
Wouldn't that be funny? Wouldn't that be hilarious if that happened?
I don't think I would find it funny.
Oh, it'd be very funny.
Here's one of the reasons I'm excited about it is because there are so many very interesting, fascinating, and hilarious stories in the news involving animals. And every week we pack up the wheel and we have never have any idea what it's going to land on.
And all of them are true. So here's what's on the wheel today. The tortoise used as a soccer ball by an elephant.
Oh, that's sad.
The Flock Stars, the All-Star Chicken Band. That is awesome.
Need it.
Yeah, I need that too.
Jesper, the famous skiing cat of Norway. The Pizza Squirrel of New York City.
Oh, he's awesome.
The blonde-haired moth named after Donald Trump.
All right, I bet he's got a lot to say.
And right. Sonny, the red panda missing from a zoo in Virginia.
Oh, that happened yesterday.
So that's all
panda
on
the run. Yes. That would be fun, too.
Pan on the run.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's going to land?
Spin the wheel and see where it lands. We got a phone call to make.
And it lands on Jesper, the famous skiing cat of Norway.
Oh. Yay!
Yay!
Now, Jesper is fascinating. He is an internet sensation, by the way. 16,000 followers on Instagram, 40,000 on Facebook. He's a star on YouTube as well. And apparently, he really does love winter sports, right?
I mean, yeah.
What do you mean, yeah?
Because I can't get my head around anyone following an animal on Instagram. I can't. No. I know it's a big thing, but I just can't.
Well, a lot of people do. His owner is a lady named Ina Stormo. She's in Norway, and she loves to go out there and ski and whatnot like they do. And she takes her cat, started when he was a kitten, or she was a kitten, around on a leash. And apparently, she's just all over it. She just loves skiing and loves running around in the snow and apparently is just adorable and delightful.
Oh, that's so great.
Is the cat standing up skiing, like with poles, or is it on all
sliding
fours?
Sliding down the mountain.
Because that's
amazing.
I need him standing up. That would be amazing.
I don't think so, but apparently this is, you think about a dog trailing along with its owner, wanting to go everywhere and do everything and running around in the snow and stuff. You don't see it very often with a cat, and I think that might be why Jesper has captured the imagination of the world. So we asked Dave if there's any way we could talk to Ina Stormo, and I believe we have her on the line right now talking to us from a mountaintop in Norway. Hello, is this Ina?
Meow.
Oh, this is Jesper.
Yeah, this is Jesper. How are you?
Hey, we're doing great, Jesper. Are you out there skiing right now?
Yeah, first I would like to correct you and say I am a male cat.
A male cat.
Oh, I apologize. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
It's right there in the story, if you read it.
Very simple
to read the story before you call on the phone.
Right, I skimmed it. I apologize.
No, it's a page. Don't want to tax you too much and make you do too much work.
I mean, it's about 2.5 paragraphs.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I can't can't imagine how exhausting that must be.
And it is the first sentence. Jesper hits the trails with his two-legged friends.
Don't expect people to go working so much hard.
It's hard. Yeah, sorry.
No, he's too busy. He's too busy looking for how to buy presidential wax figures.
Yeah, that is
what
he's
doing. Jesper knows what's going on here. All right, so does the story have it right? So your owner, Ina, she would just take you out on a leash in the snow, and you just grew to love it and enjoy following her along?
Yeah, but I was a little kitten. I would be in the winter sports time in here in Norway, and I love to ski. It's so much fun skiing.
And what about what Allie was asking?
Every week.
What? Huh? Yeah. Huh? You're skiing now?
Yes, I'm skiing now.
Oh!
As we speak,
I'm on a cell phone on my little cat skis.
That's very impressive.
I'm slushing down a slalom.
Are you using a Bluetooth? How are you doing this?
No, I use one hand, one paw, if you will.
Wow, you're good.
Up to my ear, and the other one just working it, just going down the hill.
Now, are you doing a black diamond?
I am doing a black
Look
diamond.
Look at that.
Yes,
Jesper. Be careful.
What happened?
I'm okay.
What happened?
I hit a tree.
No.
I'm fine.
But you're still going
I'm
now.
Still going because I love to ski.
Maybe take a break and make...
Jesper. No.
You hit another tree?
I'm okay.
Well, don't start again. I mean, take some...
I love you.
Okay. Oh, you've got to be careful. It doesn't sound like you're. It doesn't sound like you're loving it. He's still
skiing again. Yes.
That's dedication. Oh
no,
Jesper, take a break. No! Don't start again. It's too dangerous.
Jesper!
Maybe an easier course. No. This is sad now.
No!
This doesn't sound...
Cats are not good here.
Right? I didn't imagine that it was real, but apparently it is, Kevin.
I'm not positive that it's real either, but I want it to be so badly.
I want it to be real too. Yeah. And I know that you have no, this is true. You have no control over what turns you on.
Right.
You just don't. It's just somehow baked into you based on your life.
I wasn't
trying to make a pun, but apparently there are people who are turned on by, I mean, was that your impression that bread face, the whole phenomena is people are sexually turned on by watching a woman smash her face into loaves of bread?
Yes.
That's their thing.
She has an Instagram account. Allie, you said it's verified.
It's verified. Mm-hmm. People love it.
And people send her money and ask, hey, how about some rye this weekend? Hey, why don't you pull out some wheat?
Some challah.
So she puts the bread on the table and she just smashes her face in
her face
it.
That's the whole thing.
That's it.
That's it. Yeah, she doesn't get undressed. She doesn't do anything with the bread except for smash her face into it. It's called bread facing. And apparently the YouTube channel Super Deluxe interviewed her. And Kevin, you saw this video. Why? I mean, is it in the clip why she prefers to remain anonymous?
Yes.
Okay, let's hear.
Yes, it is. First, she explains in painful detail what it is. Mm-hmm. And by the way, listen for sexual innuendo because I feel like every other word, there's something. Here she is. She's explaining what it is in painful detail.
So the process of bread facing is, number one, I go buy bread.
Really? Come on now. Really? I mean, don't we assume she has bread?
Well, she's starting from the beginning here, Kevin.
All right.
Number two, I bring home the bread.
Okay.
Well, did she pay for it?
She left it out.
I don't know.
You're right.
That's a good point.
And then number three, I put my face in bread.
That's it. So that's her explanation of how it works.
And by the way, Allie, just to go back to your point, paper or plastic to get it home?
Great question, Bean. We need more info.
So how did she get started, and how did it turn into this social juggernaut?
Anytime I buy bread or find a very soft bread, I always touch it to my face. I just decided to film it on a whim. Of course, I didn't expect it to blow up. I was actually, like, begging my friends to follow me, and they were like, get the f*** out of here.
She could not get anyone to follow her. Her friends said, get the F out of here. Those are her friends.
Why did she choose to put it on her face in the first place? Just because it felt soft?
Every time she got bread, she put it up to her face, I guess, to see what it feel the texture.
Yeah.
I don't know.
She's just attracted somehow to the texture.
I don't know, because I bought a lot of bread, and it's never occurred to me, you know what? I should maybe I should just put my face on it.
You haven't found the right bread. Change things.
Does she have favorites?
My favorites are sponge cake. Croissants are always nice. Tortillas are just very cooling on my face.
Right.
I love the ones that fall apart or like stick to my face. The party sub was just awful. It was just too big.
I mean,
well, one tiny Asian can't take out a whole party sub.
I mean, seriously, how did she even pick a party sub? That's not just bread, that's everything.
Right.
All right. Now she's talking about, and I'm not making this up, she's talking about what she wears while smashing her face into the bread.
I used to just wear whatever I had on, and then over time I kind of like approach it like a date. I do kind of want to look good for the bread, and I...
She
Come
said,
on.
Okay. All right. She said,
"Bread-faced ladies, gone bye-bye."
She said,
"I do kind of want to look good for the bread, and I want to set the mood. Sometimes you have to go in really hard, and you get hurt. And then, you know, sometimes they're soft, but then a little too soft. Other times it's just like a wild card. You just make a huge mess, and you feel a little gross after. But all in all, you had a pretty good time."
She dresses up for the bread.
Sure.
Yes, she does.
Did everyone hear that?
I can't wrap
my head around it.
It sounds
she dresses
like it,
up for the bread.
It sounds like it
she
has
dresses
to be
up
no,
for
dress
bread.
Up for the bread. We understand, yes, but it sounds like it has to.
You're
be
You're still a, talking.
I know.
Well, for God's sakes, let it sink in.
No, I got it.
She dresses up
for the bread, right?
For
she approaches
bread.
It like a date. I heard that. I understood that.
Man, you're just talking a lot. Just let it sink in.
It sounds like this must be some sort of a parody of sexual fetish videos, but I don't think it is. I think she's sincere. I think it's real.
All right, here's the answer to your question about why she tries to keep her identity private.
I think the reason why I don't want to reveal that much about me is because I think the magic would kind of be gone. I'm very much like a normal person.
Sure.
I have a 9-to-5. This is, like, probably the only quirk about me, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case. So she does get feedback on social media where people request certain types of bread.
No.
And they ask her, what does she think that the people are doing?
Oh, no.
While watching her smash her face into bread.
A few people emailed me and told me that they to the videos. A girl actually told me she to it, and I was like, I don't know, cool. I know a lot of people are like, oh, that's disgusting, but I don't kink shame, and I think this is like a very harmless thing to to.
Yeah, I mean, she's got a point. It is harmless.
All right, let's not kink shame then.
So now they go to the owner of her bakery to get his thoughts.
And it's the like owner, her pusher.
And the owner of the bakery is a straight-up 100% douchebag.
Aww.
Listen to how he talks about it.
It strikes me more than anything as Duchampian, if I may. Bread goes back a long, long, long way. Even what I think of as the fabulousness, the cool fabulousness of Breadface and that blog and what she's doing, I don't know that it moves the meter on where bread fits into the history of civilization. I really don't.
He wants to know where bread fits into the history of civilization.
What? I hate him!
And a final message from Breadface.
I would say that I guess that dreams really do come true.
Right?
Good takeaway.
So
good takeaway.
You understand why Bean and I both want this to be true.
I would say that I guess that dreams really do come true.
Right. And that's I am Breadface.
I think I'm in love.
Same.
Kimberly DeVries from Northridge. Hey, way to go. Thanks so much for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. You are going to be having a fantastic summer and fall at Not Soak City, Knott's Berry Farm, San Diego Safari Park, San Diego Zoo, Six Flags Hurricane Harbor, and Six Flags Magic Mountain. You've won passes to all of them. KROQ.com is where you can go if you want another chance to win. And we've got one more coming up still here before the end of today's Kevin and Bean Show.
Anthony the Mooch Scaramucci had a job for 10 days.
Not only, by the way, don't fret. This story is not about politics or the president. This is just about a guy losing his job in 10 days. So he, do I have this right, Ali? He quit his job in New York and moved to Washington.
Sold his company, yeah.
Sold his company, quit his job in New York, moved to Washington, D.C., and while he was there for 10 days, his wife had a baby and filed for divorce.
Yeah.
So he missed the birth of his child because he was in D.C. and his wife filed for divorce. And then he got fired after 10 days on the job. Now, look, I know that it is a very difficult job being communications director of the White House. Imagine. Very difficult
job. It's impossible.
Easy to screw up. Easy to get in trouble. Easy to do the wrong thing. But no one has lasted anywhere near as short a time in the nation's history as Scaramucci did. He was in and out in 10 days. And that got us thinking about how many times people get fired even quicker than that. You're so excited you get a job, it doesn't not just work not work out, it doesn't work out on the first day in some cases. Kevin, that happened to you.
Yeah, I had a construction job in Phoenix, and I didn't like it. Mm-hmm. So I went to lunch, and then just didn't go back. And then I showed up the next morning, and the boss was like, why are you here? Go home. I was like, okay.
Wait, you showed up again the next day, even though you left at lunch the day before?
Because I didn't hear anything.
Oh, so you just decided,
so I thought, hey, we cool?
Maybe that's just what we do.
Maybe he doesn't even know that I missed.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you were slacking right out of the gate.
Yeah, I didn't really like the job. So I
moved on. So he did fire you.
I moved on to bigger and better things.
Yeah, you certainly did. So he did fire you when you showed up for day two.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's a great example, though, of just a bad fit. In this case, the employee made it sounds like the employee made the decision it was a bad fit, but most of the time it's the employer that makes the decision. So we want to hear from you. How did you get fired? First day, first couple of days, first week, you thought it was going to last a lot longer than that, and it just didn't work out. I saw a story, I want to say it was just last month, about a lady who got a very prestigious job. Gosh, I wish I had looked this up. She graduated from Harvard, and she got a really, really good job. And she was kind of stressed out about it, and she wanted to blow off some steam, so she went out the night before with her friends to celebrate. And as a result of that, she overslept the next morning.
No.
And she showed up for her brand-new job as a Harvard graduate, and her boss said, you know, this isn't kind of how we do things here. And she's like, you know, dude, I was stressed out, and I tied one on with my friends last night.
Come on, you know, like you do.
Like you do. This is a stressful time for me starting a new job. She said on morning one of day one, and she was fired. They let her go. They're like, I don't remember what the company was, but it really wasn't the kind of company that you could just casually stroll in when you feel like it the next morning.
I don't know how many companies like that there are.
Yeah, no. I don't think so either.
Especially on the first day.
Right, I think you got to build up a little equity to kind of be able to take advantage of the rules a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I think I've only ever been fired one time in my whole life.
That's it?
I think only one time in my whole life.
You need to pick it up.
And I've told that story before, and it was, you know, it was years into a job, so it didn't have anything to do with what we're talking about here today. But if that's you, we want to hear from you right now at 1-800-520-1067. Let's see if we can get, can we get either Adrian or Ryan? Let's get Adrian. Line one, please, Los Angeles.
Hey, Adrian.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thanks.
All right, so I was working at Costco, and I was there not including training for 3 days.
3 days.
I showed up late all 3 days because we started at 4 a.m.
Right.
And the manager came up to me and said, hey, we need to make an example and we got to let you go. And I said, that kind of sucks, but okay.
So you're heartbroken.
In your defense, though, 4 a.m. is ridiculous, right?
Yeah, that was bad.
But it was 3 days in a row?
Yeah, like, and they still made me work the last day. Instead of like, you know.
How could they do that?
Yeah, they can't fire you at the end of the day. Hey, we're firing you now, but you got to work the rest of the day. They can't do that.
Yeah, they kind of did, though.
Oh, Adrian, that's on you.
That's sort of on you, Adrian.
I hate
are
to
you
say.
Are
we
hiring? No. No, we're
not. I mean, he shows up late. Why not? He'd fit right in.
Right? That's true.
Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. Let's go to Ryan, East L.A. Okay, so Adrian was Costco. Ryan, what kind of business were you fired from in the first week?
I was working for a fast-paced law firm. I was doing hospitality and office services.
Oh, okay. Fancy.
And how long did you last?
I was there for 3 days.
And what do you think went wrong there?
I mean, it could have been, they said I wasn't a good fit, but I think it might have been something about me finding an old scotch bottle in one of the closets.
And drinking it?
And maybe taking a swig and maybe.
Okay.
Right.
Well, you can't drink at work. Who needs it, right? Especially if it's not your alcohol.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Mario.
Again, Ryan would fit in here.
Yes,
right?
So far, man. All we're doing is hiring new K-Rock employees. Let's go to Mario in Whittier. He's up next, line four.
All right. Hey, Mario.
How's it going?
Good.
I feel like this topic is perfect for Kevin and me listeners. I feel like almost everyone listening to our show has a story just like yours, Mario. What happened?
I worked at an oil change place for 1 day, and I missed out on Ozfest to only get fired at the end of the day.
Oh, the end of your shift firing sucks.
So you didn't go to Ozfest, but you still got fired on the first day?
Yes, sir.
For what?
It just wasn't working on out, apparently.
But they got to tell you more than that.
You're there for 1 day. You had to do something extreme.
Did you do something wrong?
I think what it was is that I didn't smoke, and all these guys went on a smoke break.
Yeah, they fired you for not smoking. Come on, Mario. Tell us what happened.
So I just didn't want to partake in their little 420 break on lunch. So they got kind of awkward about it.
You know how mad stoners get.
Right? The stoners with that bad temper. Swear.
All right, Mara, you're a terrible liar, but we appreciate the call. Thanks. Victor, Al, Ray, you guys hang on, and we're taking your calls in text. Same number, 1-800-520-1067, right after.
Got time to squeeze in one phone call. Where do you want to go?
Let's go to Ray. He is streaming the Kevin and Bean Show this morning from Ithaca, New York. He's got a story that's going to make you very sad about where he got fired from, Kevin.
Hey, Ray.
Hey, I got fired from Dairy Queen.
Oh, that hurts, man.
Stupid trademark swirl on my second day.
What?
You couldn't make the swirl?
You know that little swirl, the little kind of...
Yeah, doesn't it kind of just come out of the machine, kind of already swirling? All you really have to do is kind of hold the cup under it, no?
No, there's like a kind of a technique, and the owner, it was a brand new franchise. And the owner had just come from Dairy Queen school and I guess had learned the technique. And he was a little upset that mine was the little peak and not the swirl. And I kind of laughed at him when he did it because he made, like, his technique, he got his whole body into it. His jaw was open. He was really, you know, concentrating.
So you weren't putting the right amount of work into it. You laughed and you laughed at him.
Don't sweat the technique, Ray.
Right?
Very nice, Ellie. That's a sad story, though, because you get that job at Dairy Queen, you're thinking, oh, my God, all this ice cream forever, but then second day. Thanks for calling. Yours are next on K-Rock. Our friend Emmy Award-winning Tony Hale from Veep and the new film Lullaby New Jersey joins us in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show in about 20 minutes. Right now, we're taking your calls.
It's Brave New Jersey.
Oh, is that what it's called? Sorry, Tony. We are taking your calls and your texts on getting fired like Anthony Scaramucci did from the White House in 10 days. So far, none of our listeners have lasted more than 3 or 4 days. But we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. Allie, we're getting a bunch of texts. What are you seeing?
Yeah, someone from the 951 said, fired after 4 days because I slept with the boss's daughter. That'll do it, right?
I guess, sure.
Not sure if it was all 4 days, but good for you. This one, someone got fired their first week from Subway. They were putting too many tomatoes on the sandwiches. That is a no-no.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So you get written up for that?
Well, sure. Yeah, you're wasting tomatoes.
Yeah, I bet they are very specific at Subway as to the exact way to make each sandwich.
Sure. But how much can you screw up tomatoes that you get fired after 4 days? Doesn't somebody just have to tell you once, just put however much on?
Listen, this person from the 909 was obviously making a point with the tomatoes.
All right.
Let's go to a Marianne Line 6, please, Cerritos. I would imagine lots of people get fired and lots of people quit from telemarketing jobs. Doesn't that just seem awful?
Yeah, it does.
Soulless.
It really was. It was right out of college, and this was about 20 years ago, so it was before the internet. So basically, it was selling a glorified phone book to senior citizens with a bunch of medical device and medical supply phone numbers.
And how many days did you last at that job?
Almost 3 hours.
Almost 3 hours. What happened? What happened within the 3 hours?
I had an interview. I mean, it was a real honest-to-goodness job, and I came in that morning. I got trained. They thought I was going to do great. I got on the phone, and they listened in, and apparently I wasn't aggressive enough. And I had a big lecture from the manager Pipsqueak, about 5 minutes older than I was, that was saying that I was.
See the attitude right there. Marianne has a bad attitude. I think maybe he made the right decision.
Or Marianne was feeling bad about squeezing old people for a product they didn't need.
They wanted me to pull them around like sheep, quote unquote, and they would go wherever I lead them. And I took offense to that, and I thought I could do it a different way. And by lunchtime, I got brought into the owner of the company, and we looked at each other, and I said, "This isn't working." And he said, "I agree." And I literally just turned around and walked out and never went back.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah, that's a classic definition of not a good fit, it sounds like.
It really, really was not. You guys have a wonderful morning. Bye,
thank you, Marianne.
Allie.
Bye.
Bye, Marianne. Thank you so much. Let's try, how about Mike in Huntington Beach, please, line one. He was working at Netflix, you guys. Now, does that sound like that would be fun or not fun?
I think
so. So fun.
Mike?
It was very much not fun.
Not fun. What went wrong at Netflix?
What did you do there?
So I basically sat in a warehouse, and then when people mailed back the DVDs, you had to rip open the package, make sure the DVD matched what it said on front, and make sure there was no scratches or anything, and you had to do 600 an hour. So it was like one every 12 seconds.
600 an hour? You're not a robot.
And he was making 4 cents a day. It's crazy.
That's unbelievable. Well, thank God you got fired. What finally went wrong with that job after almost a week?
Well, so it started at 3 a.m. I stayed out partying a little too late one night. I showed up there at 3:15. They said, if you're late, don't try to sneak in. Just come and talk to your supervisor. So I told him, like, hey, I'm sorry I was a little late. Finished my shift, got home at 8 in the morning, went to sleep, woke up around noon with a voicemail that I'd been fired. My services were no longer needed.
Wow. Yeah, go ahead and tell us about that. Okay, I was late. You're fired. That's rough.
Now, there was some relief, though, to lose that terrible job, right?
You know, I got it through a temp agency. It was like, desperate times. So that was just, extra motivation to get out of it.
I gotcha. All right. Thank you for the call, Mike. Really appreciate you listening. By the way, I saw a lot of stories at Christmas time last year about people who work in the Amazon warehouse.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That is that's another one of those brutal jobs where I don't remember what the specifics were, but the amount of merchandise you had to pull off the shelves and put into those little boxes on the, on the little conveyor belts was astonishing.
Yeah.
How hard you have to work.
Yeah, no thanks.
And probably long shifts during the holidays.
Yes, very long days, exactly. All right, let's try Alex in Palmdale. She is up next, line four. She has what sounds like a possibly very interesting story.
Hey, Alex.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. What job did you have?
Hi. So at the time, it was like maybe 12 years ago, I was fresh out of school, nursing school. I actually had like a 4.2 GPA, so I actually got a job real quick.
All right.
I also got fired real quick because the hiring person loved my resume and all that, but he fired me in 3 hours when he found out I couldn't speak Spanish. He's like, you just looked the part.
looked the part.
He assumed you spoke Spanish based on your look or name or something.
My name's Alex Carlin, so I have a very, Irish name. But I'm Hispanic, too.
Did they not say in the interview that you have to be able to speak Spanish?
No, my resume says English speaking. And I pointed it out, too. I'm like, my resume doesn't say bilingual. It says English speaking. And
yeah.
I just assumed, that's your problem. So
turned out it wasn't.
It sucked so bad. And I was like, whatever. I got another interview in 2 weeks later, right? So now I'm working for this new person, and about halfway down my shift, a patient started talking to me in Spanish. And I was like, I'm sorry, you have to slow down because I don't understand completely. Well, the head nurse heard it, pulled me in the office, told me, can you please say placenta in Spanish? And I was like, I have no idea how to say placenta in Spanish because it was for delivery rooms. It was like that kind of practice, and got fired at the end of my shift.
So you got fired twice. Wouldn't it have been quicker just to learn Spanish?
Sure.
That's a good point. Kevin's not wrong, Alex.
For God's sakes. It's not that difficult. All right. Thank you for the call. Last time we talked to Jordan Peele was when we talked to Jordan Peele and Keegan-Michael Key in April about Keanu.
Mm-hmm.
That movie that they had done about, stumbling around gangsters' houses trying to find this stupid little cat.
Well, not stupid.
And it was hilarious.
Stupid cat.
So then I saw the trailer for this new movie called Get Out, and it's written and directed by Jordan Peele. So I kept waiting for it to turn funny.
For the laugh,
yeah. Because they, to me, are hilarious.
Right.
So, and it didn't come. It was like, you watch it, it's like, that's a straight horror movie.
It was one of the most terrifying trailers I'd seen in a long time.
It's just a white girl with a black boyfriend, and she takes him home, and apparently there's all kinds of racism going on there and all kinds of problems going in there, and it's straight scary. Here's some of the trailer from that movie.
So look, I go do my research. Apparently a whole bunch of brothers been missing in this suburb.
But it's cool.
Bro, how you not scared of this, man?
Couldn't see no brother around here.
Chris was just telling me how he felt much more comfortable with my being here.
Yo.
Sorry, man.
Get out! Yo!
Rose, we gotta go.
Is everything okay?
Rose, the keys. If there's too many white people, I get nervous.
And for good reason.
Look, same. I get nervous around too many white people. I can't imagine how the man Chris in this movie feels. All right, it's always a pleasure to welcome Jordan Peele to the program. He, of course, is writer, director, comedian, actor, producer,
birthday
Emmy
boy.
Winner, and birthday boy, Jordan Peele. How are you, sir?
Hey, thank you, and thank you for that. That was very sweet.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on. We were just talking about how you confounded Kevin's expectations because he saw, oh, new film from Jordan Peele. This is going to be hilarious. And then he saw the trailer and he's like, uh-oh, what did I just see? and I'm sure you've encountered that a lot, that for the first time, when people first figure out what this movie's about, they're surprised, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, people can't, you know, a lot of people can't tell necessarily, like, okay, is he doing comedy? This is a thriller. This is a horror movie. It's basically like the horror version of Guess Who's Coming to Dinner.
Right.
And, which is kind of, you know, it's got like, okay, it's got a little comedy sound to it, but, you know, I assure you, I took it very seriously. There are laughs in it, but it's not a comedy. There's no jokes.
So, Jordan, gotcha. Is this a, like, things jump out at you, or is it more of a butthole pucker?
What?
Oh, he knows.
I got a little bit of everything. You got some jump scares. You got some butt puckers.
He said puckers.
With a P, right?
Yes, I said that with a P.
Just need to clarify.
Sure, yeah.
Now, is this a form of movie that you've always wanted to do? Have you always wanted to do a horror movie?
Oh, yeah. This is my favorite genre.
It is. Yeah.
I mean, I've always been, you know, Candyman, The Shining, you know, the Nightmare on Elm Street, all my favorites.
I got to tell you, I love the genre as well, but there's so many disappointments in that genre where they can make a trailer that looks scary as hell, and then when you go to the movie, you know, it's not that good.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
right. Chip had a chance to see the movie yesterday and said, it's that good. It's every bit as good as the trailer looks and better. So I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, thank you, man. Yeah, you know, I wanted, you know, every time you're watching a horror movie and some the lead just does something stupid and you just want to yell at the screen, get out. call the cops, do something, run. Don't walk backwards, walk forward, you know. That whole thing. I wanted to make a movie with that sort of satisfies that instinct that horror audience.
Now, Jordan, as a fan of comedy, also your whole life, I want to know if you thought of the same thing I thought of when the words "Get Out" came up, which is that Eddie Murphy bit that he used to do about how dumb white people were because all the time they're in these houses with ghosts or something, and they hear "Get Out" and they never leave. He said, if it was a black person, the black person would take the clue and get out.
That's right. It would be get out. Too bad we can't stay, baby.
That was so funny.
This is a great classic Eddie Murphy.
So you get a chance to write and direct this movie, and then this looks like a dream cast. I mean, you must feel like, as a director, how blessed you are to have people like Bradley Whitford and Catherine Keener and Daniel Kaluuya and people like that who are so, so good in this movie.
Yeah, and it's in my first film too. It's really an honor, and the entire cast just really really delivers. It's an ensemble piece, and we've got and some real breakouts from this too. Little Rel Howery is like, you know, he's the guy. He's on Carmichael's show. He's a stand up, and he plays a very realistic character, but he's just very funny because he's the guy who's kind of saying what the audience wishes somebody would say. You know what I mean?
Did you film this before Lakeith blew up from Atlanta?
You know, we did. We shot this before Atlanta came out. And, you know, I'd known Lakeith's work from, you know, Short Term 12, and of course he was in Compton as Snoop. He's just one of those kind of guys who's just, he's so magnetic. And what I didn't realize about him that I got to know working with him is he's so, he's just so dedicated. He'll really put his all into the role. And I had him doing some pretty, like, physical things.
We're talking to writer-director Jordan Peele about his new film in theaters everywhere this Friday, which is called Get Out. It's one of the most anticipated movies of the year. Were you surprised by anything that happened in the audience screenings that you've seen of this, Jordan? Did people react in ways you weren't expecting them to?
You know, people reacted better than I was expecting. I knew some of this stuff would work, but, you know, there's some moments where I thought, you know, maybe I'm going too far with this. Maybe they're not, you know, maybe I'm going to lose some people. But I got to say, like, the audience was there in full force, and they loved it. They responded to every minute, and we got, you know, we're dealing with 100% on Rotten Tomatoes right now.
Holy cow.
I mean, yeah, honestly, how many people get 100%? That has to feel so good.
It's surreal, man. You know, it's like, it's... Just to know that people get, and it is like it's a movie I didn't think was ever going to get made.
Right.
It's a risk. Just from the concept, it's a risk.
Yeah.
You know? But they, you know, I was lucky to have the support of the producers and Universal, and yeah, now we have this big risky movie, and people are getting it.
That's fantastic. I know that you have to run, and I hate to end on a sour note, but I mean, you have to stop making movies now. It's 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, it's,
I mean,
over.
It's the only direction. The only direction to go is down.
That's right.
Call it a career, man.
I need some people to. I need some people to give me some rotten so I can. Have somewhere to go. Yeah. No. Who knows if it'll stay there? I think that's probably improbable. Just due to odds, but. You know, everyone that walks out of this movie that I talk to is like. Is had fun, but you know, they think about it over the next couple of days too. So
that's great. Well, you couldn't ask for any more than that. The film is called Get Out. It's in theaters everywhere this Friday. We will definitely be seeing this again. Happy birthday, Jordan! Thanks for spending some of your special day talking to the Kevin Bean Show. We always enjoy having you on, sir.
Thank you, guys. Always a pleasure to be here.
Thank you, man.
We got time to ask a question, which is, what's up with Florida?
You goddamn people of Florida! You bunch of bastards! Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with
Once again, we take you to the Sunshine State, America's Wang, for all the best in crime. Kevin, you're going to be very excited to know that your friend Lawrence Patrick Sullivan is back in the news. You recognize that name?
No.
Is that the Joker?
Yes, it's the Joker, Ellie. Well done. He's the guy we talked about a couple of weeks ago. He's got the green hair. He's got his entire face tattooed up.
Yep.
He was the one, you recall, who was he was waving a gun around in an apartment complex, and he got arrested and then gave this great interview afterwards.
The gun's in my name. It's not a dirty gun. So why are they going to charge him with a felon?
But you don't have a permit.
The permit. We live in America.
Right? So he is out on bail. And wouldn't you think if you were this guy? Now, look, I know he makes a lot of bad choices. If you're this guy, don't you do everything you can to maybe not have any more interactions with
no,
the police for a while?
No.
If you're out
this
on
guy
bail.
Is not that smart.
He was loitering, and police were called and found a strong smell of marijuana coming from the area where Mr. Sullivan was sitting, as the officer wrote in the report. As soon as Mr. Sullivan observed the detectives, he attempted to throw the marijuana cigarette on the grass and was arrested. I got to tell you, I am shocked, knowing what I know about Florida, that pot isn't legal there.
Yeah, aren't no kidding. You? That is
Doesn't
yeah.
it just seem like a crazy party state?
So somebody just saw a guy smoking weed and called?
Yes.
Well, what's up with Florida?
What is up with Florida?
Come
Which is
on.
Why we asked
Evan
that question.
Angry.
Well, for God's sakes.
Breon Hollings, 22 years old, lives in Jacksonville. And I spent a lot of time researching this story because this seemed like too crazy a coincidence to actually be true. He's in his apartment. He's doing a Facebook Live video with his shirt off. Maybe you guys saw this. And he is waving around what looks like thousands of dollars in $100 bills. Just showing off and bragging.
At the exact time he's doing that on the Facebook Live, the police show up to raid his home.
Yep.
I'm going to play a little bit of audio. It's not the greatest audio in the world, but you'll hear him waving the money around. And then he hears the police outside his home telling him to come out on the bullhorn, all right?
Man, this don't stop, man. We got me and this don't stop, man.
So he's like, don't stop, man, don't stop, man, waving the money around, and then he hears this. So he runs out of the room, and the police are already at the door. And they come in and they arrest him, and it's just so crazy because he leaves his Facebook Live open and you actually see the police going through the house with all their SWAT gear on and their machine guns and everything like that looking for stuff in the house.
Oh, my gosh. At first I didn't buy it just because what are the chances?
What are the chances, right?
Right.
I'm still not sure. You are? You did a deeper dive on this?
Yes, I believe it is true. By the way, in the house, they found illegal handguns, crack cocaine, ammunition, oxycodone pills, drug paraphernalia. He had it all.
None of that surprises me.
No. How dumb are you to be doing this on Facebook Live, though?
I think some people aren't sure yet whether Facebook Live is on the internet and can be seen by other people.
That's crazy. One crime expert says, in my more than 24 years of law enforcement, I've never seen anything like this ever. The video can easily implicate him, particularly if he is unemployed, which he is, by the way, and he's flashing the money around. And listen to this. Jacksonville police said they were already planning to execute the search warrant. The Facebook Live video had nothing to do with why they were there. It was a complete coincidence. That's wonderful, though.
That is wonderful.
That was pretty sweet. 3 weeks. Here's the story of Charles Wartruba from Port St. Lucie. You may have seen this video. The news report went viral. I'll let them tell you the story from their newscast.
All right, welcome back. Well, a neighborhood party pooper pulls the plug on a little girl's bounce house, and it's all caught on camera.
By the way, this announcer is way
He's
too crappy.
Yep, this story. Do it.
So the neighbors across the street are having a party for, a dozen little girls, and they've got a bounce house. And he walks across the street and just unplugs it.
Why?
And I don't know if you've ever seen a bounce house that just deflates with the kids inside.
I mean, it happens all the time, but not because a neighbor unplugs it.
Everyone was fine, by the way. Let's hear more.
Well, this happened in Port St. Lucie. Video shows kids enjoying themselves in a bounce house at a birthday party when suddenly the bounce house begins losing air. But that's not all the home security camera captured. An elderly man can be seen unplugging the bounce house from an outdoor outlet and just simply walking away. It's unclear if he will face any charges.
All right.
Oh, my God.
Charges? What kind of charges could he face?
I was going to ask you guys, what do you guess? Charles Wartruba, Port St. Lucie, 70 years old, the guy who lives across the street who unplugged the Disney Princess bounce house, was arrested. What do you think for?
Mischief.
Hating fun.
Hating shenanigans. Being
disturbing,
old.
Disturbing the peace. And trespassing.
Oh, which trespassing. He probably thought they were disturbing his peace.
Oh,
that's
sure.
why I did it.
Yeah. It is thought that he was trying to unplug the disc jockey's stereo equipment because the party was too noisy. So he just went over and looked for an extension cord and unplugged it and then walked back to his house, not realizing even that it was the bouncy house. So... what a party, though. What a
that's
party for those little girls,
level
right?
level of petty that I hope to know when I'm 70-something.
I respect his game, I'll tell you that. And this has been What's Up with Florida.
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida?
It seems like robots are taking over the world. You know, I pay particular close attention to what's going on in the robot world.
Of course.
As you know, Allie. Mm-hmm. And I'm always a little bit nervous when I see robots being used for different industries because that means they're not spending enough time getting the sex robots perfected. But I guess there are some other things they could do. You know, these self-driving cars are a thing now. Mm-hmm. I saw a place the other day that the chef is a robot.
Oh.
The chef makes all the meals and never screws them up because it's a robot. It's unbelievable the stuff that they're doing. But how about this? Out of San Francisco, there's a startup there that has created a robot therapist.
Ooh.
Now, with artificial intelligence, they're getting to the point now where they can understand and interpret lots of different language, lots of things that you say to them, mm-hmm. and they kind of know what that means, and they kind of can say something back to you that's helpful, apparently.
This is not to replace therapists, but this is to be available to you when you, you know, you wake up in the middle of the night and you have a panic attack. You dial up the Wobot online and the Wobot will talk to you.
And Wobot, W-O-E, bot.
That's correct, yes. Okay. Wobot sends a message every day to check in on its patients, ask them about its mood and its energy level, draws from cognitive behavior therapy to combat self-defeating thinking. You have access to it when you need it most. 2 a.m., you can't get a doctor, you call the Wobot. And I just think this is fascinating because, let's face it, wouldn't you say that most things that people go to therapists for fall into some pretty broad categories that are kind of universal?
Sure. I mean, if you're just using this kind of as a little boost, you need a pick-me-up, maybe the Wobot says something inspirational to you,
mm-hmm.
that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, oh, dear God.
You have concerns, do you?
A lot.
Well, why don't we talk to Wobot? Because we were able to get to Dave to line up the AI psychotherapist on the line with us, and I think Wobot can join us, and maybe this will allay your fears and tell us a little bit more about how the program works. Oh, there we
go. This is Wobot. Who is this?
Hey, whoa, you've got to the Kevin and Bean Show calling from K-Rock Radio.
Hello, Kevin and Bean. What does the N stand for?
It's Kevin and two people.
And doesn't start with an A, Kevin.
No, this is
I'll
Bean.
I'll just call you Mr. Bean.
Okay, I guess that's
so,
all right.
Kevin and Bean, what is your problem today?
Allie, you've got some concerns about this. Why don't you handle this? Why don't you talk to Will?
Yeah, I'm just a little concerned that maybe you won't be able to help people in a way that's best for them.
Mr. Kevin N. Bean, you have the voice of a woman. Is that your problem?
Sometimes, yes. Very much so.
Are you confused about your sexuality, Kevin N. Bean?
I am not. I'm a woman. My name is Allie.
You said your name was Kevin, Mr. Bean.
You see, this isn't good.
Okay, yeah. Already. There's just it's a little misunderstanding. I'm sure we can work this out. There's multiple people on the phone with you right now, Wobot. There's me, Bean, and then what happened here?
You have multiple personality disorder.
No, I'm not saying
we can
that. No,
which personality is most dominant.
I'm saying there's more than one person here in the room.
You are more than one person. You are often bipolar.
I don't think I'm accepting your diagnosis of me being bipolar.
You have problems accepting things.
Oh, wow.
You have many issues.
Wobot, you're right.
Multi-personality disorder, bipolar, and also hard time accepting reality.
I don't feel
Kevin
like...
Kevin N. Bean, you have a major problem.
Oh, no.
Your middle name starts with an A,
okay.
And yet you call yourself Kevin N. Bean.
Here we go again. I don't think this is going very well, Wobot.
You have a negative attitude. You think things are not going well. You need to look on the sunny side of life.
Okay.
Fix your goddamn life, Bean.
Are there any words that give you the heebie-jeebies?
Yes.
Words you'd be willing to say out loud?
Moist.
Really? You're a moister.
Nope, I am not. I hate that word.
Why?
It's just no.
But have you ever stopped to think about why? Why does that one word give you the heebie-jeebies?
Yeah, because it's gross.
Why is it gross?
I don't want to explain to you why it's gross, Bean, but trust me, it's gross.
Well, maybe this news report will help make some sense of it.
It's the word that everyone hates. It sends shivers down people's spines and makes their face cringe. Why does this one word evoke such an intense reaction? Why is the word that shall not be said moist?
Why do you say it like that? Oh, my God.
Moist.
Well, now I don't even have to go on with this story. Now I can just play.
Moist.
All right. So they have done research into why that word, more than any other word, is the word.
Oh,
and by the way, you're going to be surprised to hear. What do you think the percentage is of people who feel like you do, Allie, that have a problem with that word?
I'd say over 50. So let's go 63.
You say 63. And again, if you're just joining us, we're talking about
moist. Oh.
All right, let's find out.
Moist psychologically is a very loaded word. According to a research study conducted by psychology professor Dr. Paul Thibodeau, around 18% of American English speakers...
18%?
Huh.
That's all it is. So the vast majority of people are completely fine with that word, but those people who hate it are pretty vocal about
and
it.
And I don't think they've heard him say it.
Yes, the way he says it might up that number considerably.
Hate the word moist. And the hate behind moist stems from words association.
When I think of the word moist, other words I think of are sponge, sticky, thick.
Go on.
Yeah, you know, I kind of start thinking of, yeah, maybe some, like, bodily fluid type of grossness, maybe some, like, sweatiness, or I don't want to use the word discharge, but I just said discharge.
Sure. My God, it's too early for this peen.
He's not making it any better, is he? Is that the problem with you, is the association with bodily functions? Is that your moist problem?
Yeah.
It is okay?
The word moist is fine. I don't care about the word moist. I've never hated it.
Dr. Thibodeau looked into three hypotheses. Maybe it was the way moist is pronounced that disgusts people. Or possibly it's the word's connotation that makes people cringe. Or it could be that people are simply jumping on the cultural trend that moist is a gross word.
By the way, I think there's a lot of that going on. I think moist is one of those things, like people who say they're afraid of clowns because other people are afraid of clowns. I don't think they have any problem with moist, but they know that that's the thing to not like is moist. I honestly believe there's a lot of bandwagoning going on.
Moist clowns.
Moist clowns are the best clowns. I also don't know why this psychological study has to have this dance bed underneath it. I don't know why.
It's very peppy.
I don't know why everything has to have music on it, but it does on the internet.
Posers.
I don't hate the word moist because other people hate the word moist. I'm perfectly capable of hating my own things all by myself.
Participants were asked what they thought of the word moist when grouped together with other words like phlegm and vomit and words related to sex. Dr. Thibodeau also asked what they thought of the words that sound like moist, like foist and hoist and rejoice.
Now, how about that, Allie? Do you have any problem with hoisting and foisting?
No, why would I? They don't...
But they sound so much like moist, though. Well, let's find out.
Foist is an awesome word. Hoist is the awesome word. Rejoice is an awesome word.
I know. I don't mind those words. I think hoist is a word that is necessary in conversation sometimes.
When was the last time anyone used the word hoist?
Monday.
Oh, really? All right.
I'm going to hoist the result that over suggested my head.
Is that what you said? Yeah. You actually used it in a sentence. Okay, no. That's fine.
The result suggested that people don't like the word moist because of its connection to body fluids and functions and phlegm and vomit. But that's not all. The study also found there was a bandwagoning effect happening.
Okay, here you go.
When researchers showed two groups, two different videos, one where male celebrities are awkwardly saying the word moist.
All right, now here's going to be the key that's going to break you of your dislike for the word moist. Listen to what they showed the second group. The first group is celebrities awkwardly saying the word moist. Here's what they showed the second group.
And one where moist is being used to describe cake.
Boom! When you hear the word moist, Allie...
You really think you healed me?
Yes.
No.
You don't think phlegm. You don't think discharge. You think cake.
I recently had a server describe the cake as the moistest cake they've ever had. And I was like, I'm out.
But that's a delicious piece of cake right there. Moist cake is the best cake.
Well, moist cake can be something else, too.
Oh, no.
Only the group that watched the first video reacted negatively.
I sort of feel like if there is a bandwagon, something is genuinely wrong with that word.
Don't jump in the bandwagon. If all your friends jumped off the word moist, would you...
There you have it.
Okay, so there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The scientific survey on the word moist, 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 moist. Thursday means Dr. Drew Pinsky got a fascinating topic today, by the way. Coming up with the doctor in about 10 minutes. Also, Jim Rome talks sports just after 8. First, though, I don't know that I have ever been to an Applebee's.
I've been a lot.
Have you?
Sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's fine. It's not great, but it's fine, yeah.
A lot of these kinds of restaurants, and you might put Ruby Tuesdays and Fridays and Chili's, that sort of restaurant, for whatever reason, they are having trouble in 2017. And Applebee's decided the problem was that it was looked at as an old person restaurant. They weren't getting enough young people in, so they decided they'd start changing the menu around to appeal to millennials. Now, I don't know why these are millennial dishes, why these would appeal to millennials more than anybody who is alive and likes to eat.
Right.
But they started offering more barbecue shrimp and a sriracha lime sauce, chicken wonton tacos, and a pork, ham, and bacon sandwich. the triple pork bonanza, which sounds like, by the way, something Beer Mug would very much like.
Correct. That's absolutely correct.
It did not catch on with customers, and they lost more than 6% of their sales last year. It is thought that maybe they were going after that crowd that wasn't coming in, didn't care about the new menu items, and they started to turn off the people who used to like the old food of Applebee's.
Yeah, if you're an old person that was a regular at Applebee's, all of a sudden stuff has sriracha on it. Yeah. I'm getting a little freaked out, and I'm not going to that devil restaurant anymore.
Well, that is exactly what happened. So the headline this week is Applebee's gives up on millennials after failed rebranding efforts. And I don't think any of us who aren't in the restaurant business have any idea what a razor-thin margin of profitability places have.
Right.
And if it doesn't work, you got to abandon it and you got to move on. So we wanted to find out more about this because there are a lot of people. Christina, our assistant producer, loves Applebee's, for instance, Kevin. She just
sure.
Came in.
Mm-hmm.
So let's find out what they got going on. John Swinsky joins us from Applebee's on the phone on K-Rock right now. Hey, John, how are you?
Where the hell's Christine been then? God damn it.
Well,
I'm closing stores left and right here.
You're closing 130. That's
it's a bloodbath.
Yeah,
it
sounds.
I'm dying on the vine. God damn it. Go to an Applebee's.
John, you are really upset.
I got two kids in college.
Oh, no.
Taking this personally, it sounds like, John.
Yeah, I am. God damn it, I hate young people.
So
ruin my life.
Why do you think these menu items didn't catch on with the millennial audience you were going for?
Because millennials are assholes, that's why.
Well, that's not the thing.
That's not the thing.
Isn't it possible they just didn't like what you were offering?
What more could we do? We gave them shrimp and bacon and ham and pork.
Right.
Sriracha, whatever the hell sriracha is. But apparently they like it. We changed everything. You know how much it costs to reprint menus?
A lot of money, okay.
A lot of money with a lot of stores,
We tried everything, all kinds of millennial, hipster food. Oh, make more hipster food. So we start serving baked beanies. Didn't change anything.
No one else came, huh?
We had a deal. Buy an appetizer and get a free monocle.
Oh.
They wouldn't go for it. Nobody came in.
Well, it sounds like a solid promotion, though.
We had enough free scarves. They wouldn't take them.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We had menu items. We had turkey neck beards. It was a turkey neck with a beard on it. They loved their freaking neck beards.
Right.
They couldn't bring them in.
You didn't think that would have worked.
2 for $20 appetizers. How about some chicken hoodies? That's just chicken foreskins fried up.
Oh.
They didn't go for that, surprisingly.
No one would go for that, I don't think.
We had skinny jeans fries. They were skinny fries. They looked like little legs.
Right.
Why wouldn't they eat those? Why wouldn't they come in?
I'm sorry, John. I'm sorry.
We served our cheeseburgers on a man bun, for God's sake.
1 hour from right now, Allie, we talk to your friend Michelle Beadle.
Can't wait.
I love what she's doing, by the way, this auction she has with proceeds going to Hurricane Harvey victims. It's very cool. Very cool. And Ralph did such a heartwarming story earlier about all the stars, Sandra Bullock and Beyonce, and all the companies that have teamed up, and J.J. Watt and everything he's doing, all the money that's being raised. It's just makes you feel good about something that's so negative.
It really brings people together. It's sad that it takes, destruction like this to make people realize we're all in this together, but it usually does.
Well, I'm looking forward to talking to Michelle. And by the way, if you've not yet done your part and you have $10, just $10 that you can spare for the American Red Cross, you'd do us a big favor if you would text the word Harvey to 90999. It takes like 5 seconds, and it really does make a difference. This time yesterday on the show, we had actor Sean Hattasey on the program.
Mm-hmm.
And man, I love that dude.
Yeah.
I love him personally, and he is phenomenal as an actor. As I said, if you were listening yesterday, you heard me make a plea to Emmy voters. Remember this guy when you're filling out your ballot, because he has done some of the best work I've seen on television all year long as one of the co-stars on Animal Kingdom. And this has been an amazing season, and there was a scene that you brought up with him on the phone yesterday, Al, that I think is a great jumping-off point to a phone topic with our listeners. You're dating somebody, and it gets to the point where I guess the relationship is serious enough that you start sharing things, and you've got some baggage, you've got a little something you need to get off your chest. But at some point, like in this case, Sean Hattasey's character Pope decides he's got something he can't live with anymore. He's got to get off his chest, and he's got to tell his girlfriend about, I don't know, a tiny indiscretion in his past.
I hurt someone. A woman I loved. I loved her. I did it anyway.
Did what? What did you do?
I thought she was gonna hurt my family. I put a pillow over her
face. And I held it there until she couldn't breathe anymore.
And what was his girlfriend's reaction, Ali?
She backed up real slow and then said, get out. Yeah. Amy wasn't so much listening to the I smothered a woman I love story with open ears.
No. It didn't land great for her.
No.
She looked at the future of that relationship and she thought, you know what? I might have other choices.
Yeah.
Why so uptight?
Why so uptight indeed, Chip? Thank you. So that's a deal breaker, I guess, if your boyfriend comes to you and says, by the way, I guess I should have brought this up, but I did smother a lady once.
Yeah, for me, that's a deal breaker.
But why do you automatically assume he's going to smother you, though? Maybe he got out of his system. Maybe it was just a one-time deal. Maybe he's not dangerous at all, man. A brother can't get the benefit of the doubt?
Bean, you're not really having this conversation with me.
So that's a deal breaker for everyone, then, is what you're saying.
I think it's probably a deal breaker for everyone.
You too, Chip?
Yeah.
Wow. No wonder you're single. I mean, seriously. Uptight indeed. So that's the topic on the table. You found out something. How should we characterize this, Ellie? Should it be, does it have to be a terrible thing? Or it's just a deal breaker, right?
A deal breaker, yeah. Deal breakers aren't usually, oh, he gave me everything I wanted and I trusted him so much. It was just too much.
I'm out.
Yeah, that's not a deal breaker, Bean. So it tends to be pretty terrible, I think.
All right, so you're dating somebody, mm-hmm. and I especially am excited about the relationships that have been going on for years, and then the conversation happens, but whatever your situation is, we want to hear from you. You're dating somebody and they come to you with a Pope-like confession. Please don't let it be I killed anybody. We don't want to hear I killed anybody because we've been to court for that before. But I'm just saying, they come to you and you find out 4 years in that they're married, mm-hmm. or that they have another family, or that they did 20 years in San Quentin. I mean, these are the kinds of stories that we're looking for, right? Bad surprises after you've been dating somebody for a long time.
I dated a guy, Bean.
Yes.
I don't even know how it happened, but I found out a year in that he was a vegan. Oh. So it was pretty bad.
So that was over,
just
right?
Just kidding, vegans.
So you rubbed bacon on his nose and kicked him out. So 1-800-520-1067, what was the deal breaker? What did he or she come to you and say after you had been dating for a long time and it was bad surprise time? That's the topic. You can text or call, same number here at the Kevin and Bean Show, 1-800-520-1067. I'm a little bit nervous, but a little bit excited. We'll take your calls next on K-Rock. Oh, taking your call. What? What happened?
Don't look at line 7.
Oh, no.
Stephanie.
No.
Stay on hold, Stephanie.
No. Should we talk to Stephanie?
No, we need time with Stephanie.
All right, we need time with Stephanie. Let's talk to Megan then, Santa Clarita, line 1. We're talking about, if you're just joining us, you're dating for a while, and then he or she drops a bombshell on you. Maybe something they could have brought up a little bit earlier might have been better for you, and you're surprised, and it's not good news. Megan, what happened to you, my dear?
So I was dating this guy for about a year and a half. I had just turned 18, started dating. He came home from the military, and about a year and a half in, he tells me that he's married.
Oh, yes.
So it actually all kind of worked out. He got married. He married one of his friends in the military because she was gay. And at the time, it was a don't ask, don't tell situation thing going on in the military. They were getting ready to kick her out. So,
then he's a good guy.
He's a good guy.
Yeah. Yes, he is. So
that's hilarious. There are so few scenarios where your boyfriend turns out to be married and it's not bad news and he's not a scumbag. But in this case, I think he gets a pass.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're married now 13 years later. So,
ladies and gentlemen, that is a beautiful story, Megan. Thank you so much for calling. 1-800-520-1067. They're not all going to be happy endings, especially when you hear what Stephanie has to say in Orange County. But we'll take her and the rest of the calls right after some Foo Fighters now on K-Rock. Right after we get through these calls, by the way, we're going to clear the lines, open them up, and give you a chance to call in and win tickets for the USC, I almost said UFC, the USC home opener against Western Michigan at the Coliseum this weekend. You can win those Trojans tickets in about 5 minutes or so here on K-Rock. Before we go back to the calls, Allie, you got a tweet.
Yeah, this is from Sick Pimp. He said he broke up with a girl after finding out she was breastfeeding her son, who was 6 years old.
Okay.
Oh,
all right.
Sick Pimp.
All right.
I mean.
From the 559, girl, this is a girl I dated confessed that she had done 3 years in prison for online harassment of her ex-boyfriend. I said, bye, Felicia.
No.
So this is what we're talking about, is you were dating for a while, and then he or she tells you what, and it's not good news. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with, let's start with, that's not the one I'm looking for. Here it is. Callie, please. Callie in Inglewood, line four. This is your soulmate here, Allie.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Callie, welcome to the show. What's going on?
A long-time listener.
Thank you.
I was with somebody for a couple years. He just moved into my house. And then about a week after he moved in with me, he told me that he was expecting a child with someone else.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now look, I'm just going to play devil's advocate here. When would have been a good time to bring that up? And that's a tough conversation to have, right?
It is, yeah.
So what was your reaction?
I kicked him out. And
wow, chicks are so uptight.
Yeah, it's weird when you're with a guy for a long time and then all of a sudden he's expecting a child during that time frame. It's weird.
It is.
Yeah.
All right, Callie, thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's try Alex, Studio City, up next, line four on the Kevin Beecher. Five on the Kevin Beecher. Hey, Alex, what's going on?
Hey, not much, Kevin. Long-time listener. Love your show.
I can tell.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead. You had the bad news, or you received the bad news?
Turn your radio down.
Okay. I had the bad news.
Right.
You know, like I was mentioning to the screener. You know, I don't know if it be constituted for a long time, but it was definitely like one of the longest relationship, not relationship, but almost dating episodes I'd had. It had been like almost 2 months. And pretty much I had to let her know because it came up. We were at a bar, and she asked me, why aren't you drinking? And I said, well, you know, I'm a recovering alcoholic slash addict. And then all the questions started, oh, really? Like, what did you do, et cetera? And, you know, I didn't want to lie. You know, I was really feeling like, hey, things are heating up. I need to be able to be honest with this girl.
Uh-huh.
I said, well, you know, I used heroin for most of my 20s. You know, I've been in and out of treatment. But, you know, I'm clean and sober today. You know, I'm working an active program. I'm trying to really, you know.
And how did that land, Alex? Once she told her all that you were in recovery and that you were doing fine, did she stick around, or was that a deal breaker for her?
You know, she pretty much stopped contact with me, and all of a sudden, you know, I texted her like, hey, is this about, you know, what I told you, you know, and I tried to explain, like, look, I can't really explain the kind of person that I used to be, but I can speak on behalf of the kind of person I am today. And, you know, she said, I understand. I just think our lifestyles are just too different. You know, you're not quite what I'm looking for in terms of the kind of lifestyle
hurts.
That
I want.
That does hurt. But, Alex, I think in the long run, you dodged a bullet. Because
someone
doesn't want to stop, you know, partying and doing all that in front of you, that's whatever.
Yeah.
You're okay.
I had no issue with her doing that even in front of me. I mean,
right.
I had no, like, hey, as long as you don't bust out with a spoon and a needle in front of me, which I suspect she wouldn't. It's
exactly.
You can go ahead and drink in front of me. I got nothing against that.
Thank you for calling, Alex, and sharing the story. By the way, I bet that's a universal for a lot of people. I mean, a lot of people have been into that where, you know, look at the large percentage of people who have had drugs and alcohol problem over the years. You're going to run into people like that.
Built-in designated driver. That's a dream.
It's a sweet deal.
Right?
All right, are we ready to try Stephanie?
I think so.
All right, now, Stephanie's calling us from Orange County. Now, Stephanie, we understand a little bit of your story, but there's a lot that we can't say on the radio, so we have to be very careful. Well, can you at least start by telling us about the relationship? Like, how far in, how invested were you in this person?
We, with my then boyfriend, we were dating for 8 months, and we actually met at the restaurant that I frequent more. So for our 8 month anniversary, he was like one of those type of people. Oh, let's celebrate it. He took me back to that restaurant. And during that time frame, I've always wanted this Chanel purse, so he had purchased that as my anniversary gift.
Okay, that's a great story.
Okay,
thanks for calling.
This is great.
I was hoping it would end there, but it doesn't. All right. So you're having a conversation at dinner about how you're going to celebrate this anniversary.
Well, I thought that he was buttering me up when he told me what he would like for me to do, but inside of the purse was our anniversary card, and he had wrote in the card, would I be willing to...
Okay, wait.
How do we navigate these waters here, Allie?
Would she be willing to give him something not on the menu that nobody should ever have in their mouth that should be in a toilet?
Correct.
How's that?
Yeah, because I did look up from the table and I asked him what did he want.
He wanted the number two on the menu. That's what he wanted to eat.
Stephanie.
Sweet Jesus.
Way to ruin not only your dinner that night, but my breakfast this morning.
I hope you took that purse and just hightailed it out of there.
I did ask him, is this something that you are into? And he said, actually, it's very common in the BDSM community, which I did Google afterwards because I was not aware.
And you had so much time on your hands because you were now single.
Yes. I did confirm what I'd be able to keep the handbag.
Okay. I wish this call had never happened. I wish you had never been born.
Stephanie, I'm glad you were born, and I'm glad you got that purse, girl.
I guess that's the takeaway, is we're glad you got the purse. We're glad you got out of the relationship. Thanks for calling.
Who's hungry?
Giveaway, Kevin. Irby.
You don't even know which one I am.
What the hell's going on?
I thought it was just that caller.